This is PFW in progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butch. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Fred's here, Andy's here. Paul is a little backed up at the moment, I would imagine.
Oh, I think the opposite.
Really?
I think he's clean as a whistle.
Oh, okay.
Empty as they come.
All right.
But he might be by later.
Really?
Yeah, when that's all said and done, he could come by.
Okay. Well, you think he... Seriously, you think he'll be
no,
here?
No, but he might be by later.
Oh. That doesn't make any sense with him. All right.
It does if you really think about it.
Welcome to PFW.
Eric will be by later, just so you know.
Welcome. Well, he's always...
As he always by.
He's always by. Welcome to PFW in Progress, where we talk about the Patriots and everything else, football and...
Non-football. Inappropriate.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us via email. If you want to give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, it's 508-543-7482. Just a quick personnel note. This just came across the wire. The Patriots have landed Landon Cohen.
Oh, I see what you did there, Landon.
He's a defensive lineman. They released Lewis Leonard.
A defensive lineman.
Right. And landed Landon Cohen, who's 6'3", 300 pounds, his third NFL season, spent time with the Lions and the Jaguars, has played in 22 NFL games.
It's quite a cat.
26 tackles. So he's averaging over a tackle a game. So that's pretty good. So defensive line, though, is an issue for the Patriots, continues to be an issue with all the injuries.
Ron Brace was in the locker room, spoke with the media.
Well, I heard... I have some good source that a lot of these guys are coming back.
That's what generally the news first broke that Leonard was being released. People took that as a positive sign. Well, they did replace him with a defensive lineman, so I don't know if you want to jump to any conclusions there. But Ron Brace was in the locker room, spoke with the media, so I would assume he's kind of on that right track. The Mike Wright one is the weird one. He was battling the leg injury, knee, something. Then he was on there with the neck slash head, and it's been a while.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was a really bad concussion or whatever, but he just disappeared. And yeah. He's the one that I find a little bit strange.
I think he's coming back soon.
Another issue I would, this is just an observation, and I know we get in trouble with these. I don't know if you noticed, but after his touchdown when he did his little foot drag into the end zone, Aaron Hernandez was attended to by the trainers. I kind of assumed it had to do with the flu. Maybe they were just checking in, how you feeling, fluids, whatever. But looking in the locker room, looked like he has a bit of a limp going on.
Is that right?
So might want to keep an eye on him, whether he lands on the injury report, whether he is
limited. I hope it didn't happen because of that celebration. That would be...
Bill will absolutely go ballistic.
Oh,
and
God.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Don't, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
If he got hurt on that, for a guy like him, which I think
he
tiptoes between... doing the right thing and not the right thing.
Yep.
But keep an eye out for him on the injury report. Other guys talking in the locker room today. Algie Crumpler spoke briefly. Kyle Arrington did his usual. Dan Conley did not speak, but I don't know if you know, he is the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Is that the first time an offensive lineman ever won that award?
No.
Oh.
Langston Walker,
yeah.
2004, week 12, blocked a field goal for the Raiders, I believe.
Okay.
It was in the release. I'm just, yeah. That was off the top of my head. But it's happened a few times. But the longest kick return in NFL history for an offensive lineman earns him the Special Teams Player of the Week award. Joining Tom Brady and James Sanders as the Patriots who have won weekly awards this year.
That's great. So good for Dan Connolly. Everybody's loving what he did over the weekend.
Landon Cohen, by the way, number 66, if you're interested in that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I figured out why Rex Ryan has...
I said upstairs in the office, I said, what's the over-under on Fred bringing up Rex Ryan on the radio show? And I said,
that's being a
zero.
Jackass.
Well, no. I actually thought you'd open with something about Rex Ryan before you even said PFW in progress.
No, I figured out why he likes football so much.
Let's make sure we play like the f***ing New York Jets.
You know.
And not some f***ing slap team.
He thought when they said football's a game of inches, they meant football's a game of feet. So, but it turns out that his significant...
It's called football. I think you could have done a better joke than what you just said.
But turns out his wife has a really interesting fetish with feet, and Rex takes part in it with
her.
So,
I don't get the whole foot fetish thing. I think feet are the most disgusting things on the planet.
I think if you're on the internet, you can find people with a fetish for freaking everything.
But feet are gross.
Yeah, I'm
dirty,
you.
Sweaty.
And I don't get it.
They smell good? No, they don't. It means something was put on them to make them smell good. They don't smell good. They're disgusting.
Right.
Feet are gross. They are a tool to get us around. That's it. There's nothing sexual or attractive or desirable about feet.
Right.
You're freaks if you like feet.
Sexually, I'm not interested in anything that I have as well. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't like breasts?
No, I don't have them. Paul's not here.
I know, so you're going to be the fat guy today.
I like breasts.
All the jokes are
about
your
breasts.
Way.
Paul can't make his move like I can make mine move. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for opposite sex, not the same.
I agree. You know? I think we could get in trouble. We should probably move on.
But I just think it's interesting.
He addressed it, you know. He was asked about it.
What did he say?
Where is it? I was just scrolling through the...
Because I heard a statement from the Jets saying that he wasn't going to comment on it.
He said, where the hell is
Oh, come
it?
On.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
He basically said, I'll paraphrase, but I know you guys have to ask, but it's a personal matter.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
But, I mean, there's no denying anything. I mean,
Now I know what he's eating during those snacks, chicken toes.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
What are you talking about?
That's another name for chicken fingers.
Some chicken toes?
Some places call them chicken toes.
Never heard it.
Oh. Anyway.
Heard of camel toes.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. Love what's happened to the Jets.
Camel toe that'll eat chicken fingers.
It's coming at him from every different angle, from, you know, Bush League tactics on the field to weird obsessions off the field.
This is minor. Let's
I love
honest.
It.
Let's not make this more than it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's
minor. It is minor.
I mean, this is Brandon Spikes. This is just a stupid, embarrassing thing that should go away pretty quickly, but forever be a little bit of a punchline.
Oh,
a little...
sure. And I'm hoping that, you know, where are they playing? They play in Chicago this week, the Jets?
I don't know.
I would hope that the Bears...
Yeah, they play in Chicago
at
1 o'clock on CBS.
I hope the Bears fans... treat this the way they should with signs and ribbing
and
all that.
Oh, that is known as the Bears.
There'll be something.
The Bears.
But, I mean, there's a lot of comparisons to Brandon Spikes because the issues, there's like some football issues that he's screwed up and has been a part of, and then there's just stupid, embarrassing. But as they start to pile up, you say the same thing that we were saying about Spikes. Is he the guy you thought he was? Is he good
right.
for you? You know,
right.
And at some point, as the owner of the Jets, do you say, what's with all these distractions, and why can't we just have football and you call defenses and leave all this other crap out of it? They certainly don't need it at this point in the season for them.
Yeah. So it's great. I love it.
I knew you would.
Oh, you don't? You don't think it's funny?
I find it disgusting. The foot thing really, like, bothers me. I hate feet.
Yeah, it bothers me too, but I think it's hilarious.
It's very strange.
That he's videotaping her.
Yes. That's weird.
I mean, this is like a concerted effort. This isn't like,
well,
you know, just...
Again, I'll get back to Brandon Spikes.
No, I know, but...
I'd rather have the Spikes one than the Ryan one. If I had to have one of these embarrassing tapes and issues come
out, Spikes is
he's with a hot girl with big boobs, and they're doing what you're supposed to do when you find a hot girl with big boobs. Right. Feet should not be part of the equation.
I hear you. It's just weird.
It is weird.
Especially if you got fungus on those things.
Yeah, like, well,
been in locker
everybody
rooms
has
and stuff. God knows what that man has on his feet.
But they're always touching sweat, dirt, ground, yuck. They're always going to be some form of dirty.
And he's involved in it. He's the cameraman.
It's weird.
I wonder if he gets, like, pedicures and stuff so they stay nice.
Maybe. Have we gotten...
It just shows you that everybody has, like, some kind of dark secret.
Which in some ways should make it less of an issue. Because we all know everybody has something. And to have something...
I don't.
You do.
I don't have anything like that. Nothing.
You do, though.
Fred, you do. You just may not know it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You do.
Well, there's nothing...
There's something you do that we would see or find out about and we'd be like, Fred.
Yeah. Not really.
You do.
Call me boring.
Like dressing up like Minnie Mouse.
Not me.
That's different when it's a child.
Yeah, call me boring, but...
Or maybe he gets it from his dad. Who knows?
I've never dressed like Minnie Mouse.
But I love it. Love it, love it. Oh, no.
Have we gotten to the bottom of it? I mean, has there been any actual information provided by any media outlets?
No, it has nothing to do with bottoms. They like feet.
Yes, I know. Thank you, but I'm bum shit. Like, how the tape get out there? Why is it out there?
Apparently, it was on this website and...
For foot fetishes?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
And, you know, one of the...
Well, Deadspin got a hold of it.
Well,
right?
Deadspin got a hold of it, but only because somebody who was a Jets fan kind of put two and two together.
So
somebody who's a Jets fan and has a foot fetish, apparently.
Well, yeah.
No, but you can have a foot fetish or you can want your wife to talk dirty to you, whatever. But taking the next step of taping it
Are you going to paint your nails?
Putting it on the internet, like, there's a couple extra steps there of...
And filming it!
No, but filming it for your own use is one thing.
Yeah.
Filming it to provide to others.
But when you're
does that mean that they get off by seeing other videos of other people in feet?
Probably.
But when you're a public figure, you just,
and they think that people are going to get off seeing theirs.
Right. Oh, that's the next step of weirdness.
But when you're a public figure, Andy,
you're an idiot.
But no, just filming it is a huge mistake.
But
just taking the picture, even if it's for your own use, it's still a mistake.
I can see that happening because at the time you don't think. Or I'm going to get divorced, or I'm going to...
You never know.
It could get stolen or lost. But when you put it on the internet, you know. I mean, you're an adult. You know that it's not just you. There's a whole world of cyberspace that lives forever. And everybody has Google, and everybody knows everybody, and it's going to become public.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's just a poor, poor decision on his part. and embarrassing. I get back to, I'd much rather be Brandon Spikes. To have that video out there than this one. This one's weird.
Rex got the short end of the stick on this one.
Yes. You like feet. Wouldn't it be great if he came back here in the playoffs?
But how can any of his players look at him with a straight face?
Well, like you said, they're all doing something weird.
I know, but this is your head coach. This is the guy that...
Well, that's why I said, when does it
cross
the line?
This is the guy who's supposed to be telling you what to do.
When does it cross the line if you're Woody Johnson? You say, this guy can't be taken seriously.
Right.
He's a distraction. He's not. He's more of a harm than a help.
Right.
I don't know.
And I got a feeling...
But they're all freaks. That's what I would do if I were Rex Ryan. You guys are all freaks, too. I know each and every one of you has a weird like or have done something strange. So let's move on. That's what I would do.
It's kind of hard to move on.
Why?
I can't
imagine a football coach here having something like that.
Every time I
look
at this guy.
Fred does. You do. I do. Bill Belichick does. Tom Brady does. Everybody does.
Every time I look at this guy, I'm going to picture his fat body filming his wife's feet and then putting it on the internet.
Why do you have to picture his fat body, though, Fred?
Well, I mean, this is the.
Just so you know, I find his fat body less disgusting than I find feet.
Yeah,
I
feet
find
are pretty
feet
bad.
Disgusting.
You really have a problem with
I
feet.
I don't like feet. I don't like my feet touched. I don't want to touch
have,
anyone
really?
Else's
yeah,
feet.
You must have terrible feet then.
I don't think I have
awful
really
feet.
I think you just have like a phobia because my roommate's like that, and I'll just walk up and put my foot on his head when he's asleep and I'll freak out.
If you did that, I'd break your foot.
I would too. I would freak out.
I don't like people's feet near me.
Yes, feet
I don't mind like
freak
my wife's
out as
feet.
Much
like
as
you know how
you out. Like I don't want it there, but I wouldn't like flip.
You
a
know
nut.
How like your wife will put your feet up on you.
Yeah,
that's fine with
it.
Me. I don't care about that, but I don't want someone else's feet near my face.
See, I wouldn't rub my wife's feet or
anything. I don't.
Oh, I would do that.
I don't.
I won't do it.
I let her put her feet on me, but it takes a little. Yeah. It took a while for me to get used to it.
Oh, you're weird. I wasn't gonna. That's going the other.
She's
extreme.
Got this big middle toe too.
Oh, that
freaks me out. It's a little long
weird.
For my liking.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Feet. I could find. I don't get
it's
foot models. I don't have people say, "Oh, that's a beautiful foot." No, it isn't. It's a foot.
Well,
they're all
has,
ugly.
When somebody has to model feet in these commercials, somebody has to have
nice,
all
ugly.
Nice hands and nice feet to be the model.
I think some people have nice hands. I don't think anyone has
I,
nice
I
feet.
I told you that.
There's
thing,
varying degrees of ugly feet.
I was filming a demonstration where I was demonstrating an app on a phone. And so, you know, obviously it's an HD and they're doing a close-up of my hands. And so then afterwards I'm reviewing. So we can't use that. It looks like a freaking gorilla.
Yeah, well, you should have used your feet. So Rex Ryan would have got off.
But it gave me a new appreciation for people who are hand models. You have to have perfect hands so that the sight of the hand doesn't distract from what you're doing on the
right.
film.
And yours would.
And mine's would.
Mine's
I said,
you'd be.
I took that tape.
He
threw
thinks
you.
It would.
I couldn't throw that thing away fast enough.
You didn't put it on the internet to see
no.
if anyone was
no,
turned
I,
on.
I got rid of that thing. Yeah.
Poor Rex Ryan. I think he's a nice guy.
Not poor Rex Ryan.
I think he's a nice guy.
You know what?
I don't think he's a bad guy.
I don't think he's a bad guy either.
Just
I don't
a
either.
Lot of mistakes
I
here.
Just think that he got in over his head and under his feet.
The culture at the Jets, I would think he's taking a beating because
oh, yeah.
they are pretty open and
in New York.
He's no, but I just mean inside the team. He's one of the guys. Like watching Hard Knocks, you know, they're screwing around. They're all. I don't think that same culture exists here. But I think there's like an assistant linebackers coach who's making fun of Rex Ryan today.
Right.
It wouldn't happen here. If this came out with Bill Belichick, I don't think Matt Patricia is making a joke about it. But I think there, they're probably giving him a hard time, which is even worse. He's going to deal with it everywhere, internally, externally.
Yeah.
Oh. What an idiot.
And it's one thing if it's yourself, but now you have to stick up for your loony wife. You know, that's now it gets under your skin because you feel bad for her, too, because you were doing it with her, but it's really her.
Yeah, it's,
you know, now they're.
It really gives me the heat. It, my spine, it tingles. I hate it. don't get the fetish. Just don't get it at all.
It's. I mean, you
I'm
know,
I'm boring. I think my fetishes or like my like fantasies are just like blondes with big boobs. Maybe there's two of them.
I mean,
like
when they have sex, he really socks it to her.
Oh boy, this is going to be a long show.
Anyway,
with Fred Kirsch.
Let's
jokes.
Get back to the.
That was
Patriots.
A good one, though. I give Freddie credit. That was a good one.
I still don't even get the inches and feet and.
Let's get back to let's.
Oh, there's
speaking
feet on TV, a pajamagram with a woman peeling her socks off with feet. This is unbelievable.
She's hot, though. Look at that thing.
What thing?
On TV.
Yeah, she's hot.
Midnight Fantasy.
See?
Short shorts.
The midriff, that makes me hot. Boobs, I mean, but feet, no.
What do you think of belly buttons?
What about them?
I don't mind.
Some are hot.
Yeah, I don't mind them, but there's some weird ones out there.
There are.
Yeah.
Because you got the innie, the outie, the half in, the half out,
right.
And fat girls with deep ones.
Oh my God.
He's really done a survey of
them. Yeah, he's probably taken some shots out of those deep ones, those crevices in college.
No.
All right.
All right. Let's move on.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address 508-543-7482.
And then there's Dan Copen.
Is the
Dan Copen for Taxmasters.
Is the ace ticket hotline. So, was it a crowded locker room today? A lot of people?
Decent. No. A lot of reporters. Big media day. Tom Brady did not speak today.
No, he's speaking tomorrow.
And so they actually brought Vince Wilfork to the podium late in the process, so it kind of cleared out. I think all the TV people needed somebody, kind of a big name at a podium. So they got Vince. I didn't go to that, actually. You know, for his purposes, probably a nice little last run at getting Pro Bowl votes. But from players
and
coaches.
He's really into that, huh?
He should be.
But here's the problem, okay? If he does get it,
he should.
And the Patriots go to the Super Bowl,
he can't play.
He won't be going to
Hawaii.
But he's
still a Pro Bowler. I mean, you still
multi-time
Pro Bowler.
Like Bianca's behind this a lot too. She's been tweeting out, and I think she likes going to Hawaii.
Maybe she'll go.
Who wouldn't?
Maybe she'll
go. You
know, is there any rule that says you can't keep like the family trip? Because I'm sure you get to bring your family.
Maybe I don't know.
Although she'd probably want to go. Well, she could go to Hawaii and then head right to the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I think it's going to be. I think they would frown upon the guy not going and then sending
the
his
wife.
Family.
Still using the family tickets.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I wouldn't just assume they're going Super Bowl. But I thought an interesting topic today, people were being asked a little bit about Christmas and, you know, the distraction maybe being pulled. And Kyle Arrington just said flat out, no distraction at all. You understand with this job that this is a work week. You have to deal with that at a later
yeah,
date.
It's okay when you're 24 or whatever, however old
I agree.
You know,
I agree. You know, you know, guys with bigger families or
I agree. It's a work week.
Powerful families like maybe Giselle and kids.
Right.
And, I mean, I would think that's a pull on some level.
Yeah.
And I know you want to get out of work early as soon as possible on any day.
I just want to know what the schedule is.
The schedule is out. Have you seen it? We're working.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got Belichick in the morning.
It's a normal Friday, 10:30 and 11:15, locker room and Belichick or whatever.
No, but you're done by 1 or so. You know, we'll be done by 1.
Well, we have to edit, you know.
You will be.
We have to edit. We have podcasts to do. We have writing. Roster reports.
Right.
This is the business we have chosen.
You can get your roster report done on Thursday. You can get things done.
We're going to
do
our job.
A little extra work on Thursday.
We're going to do our job this week. Don't you worry about it. We're like the Patriots.
Unlike other weeks.
A lot of praise for your cover, by the way, in the locker room. Well, not a lot. One guy.
Oh, yeah?
One very opinionated guy.
Who?
Mark.
Capella?
Yeah, Capella.
He liked it.
He liked it. Thought it was a great one. One of the best. I thought it was overrated. A little long. A little long-winded.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Yeah, I think you could have just put that.
Yeah, maybe.
Cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But it certainly told the story of the game.
Sure. All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. I had another weird dream last night.
Uh-oh.
There was a lot leading up to
it. I did too.
But I'll get to the bottom line. We were in like a studio and it was a game broadcast, but we weren't like overseeing the field. It was sort of like more of an office setting where there were two desks facing two other desks, and I was sitting on one side next to somebody, and Jim Nance was sitting across from me, and he was doing the broadcast. And it was a combination of a sports and news broadcast, and everybody from CBS was there, right from Les Moonves, who runs the whole thing, all, you know, technicians all around us. And it became very apparent very quickly that Jim Nance was drunk. I mean, and he was slurring his words, and as he went, he was getting worse and worse.
Maybe so, I just drink to get drunk.
So finally, I got up, and I went to the head of CBS. I go, this guy is drunk. What are you going to do? And it turns out, like, before the game, there was, like, some alumni get-together with open bar, and he was there and had a few too many. And, you know, the guy from CBS looks at me and goes, I got nothing. I go, you're trying to tell me that you don't have a contingency plan in case some a-hole decides to hobnob with old farts before the game and get drunk? And he's like, we got nothing. So for a moment, I thought, I'll do the broadcast, right? And then I thought about all the things that I don't know how to do, and I was like, I can't do this. So finally, I went right up to Jim Nance, and I got in his face. I go, can you do this? Can you get through this? And he's like, yeah, I can do it. So I yelled at a person who was sitting there who was a morph of you and Eric, and I said, go get him some coffee. And the morph person kind of put their head back and rolled their eyes, and then I did what I'd done in the past. I'm like, just go get him some effing coffee. And then you and Eric jumped up to go get the coffee.
I don't like my role in this dream.
But me yelling in the dream woke me up.
Thanks, Joe.
So that was the end of the
dream. Huge compliment. Yeah,
How come Paul wasn't in it? How come Paul didn't have to get coffee?
Yeah, no, Paul was late for some reason, so he wasn't in the dream. He hadn't shown up yet.
I actually had a dream that we were at a Super Bowl, clearly. It was in my mind we were in Dallas. It was this huge, beautiful place, but I had to go to the bathroom, and I went out into this huge, like, food court area, and I finally found this beautiful stainless steel bathroom, and I had to poop. As soon as I get in the bathroom, all the toilets started backing up. And crap was literally just flowing out of all the toilets.
Right.
So other people are in line, like going stall to stall, and everybody realizes everything's overflowing. So people just start dropping draw and pooping all over the bathroom.
This is your worst nightmare.
So I am like, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. So I went out in the hallway, and I ended up pooping in the hallway. Then I woke up.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, why am I dreaming about pooping at the Super Bowl?
Well, I can imagine why you would be, because that's part of your life. I mean, that's a big part of your life.
It is
your problem.
You spend a lot of time pooping?
But right. But I would have thought I would have woken up from the dream and had to go to the bathroom, and I didn't.
No.
I just woke up from the dream and was like, whoa, that was weird, and went back to sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe Dallas is going to be a debacle for the Super Bowl. Maybe I'm having a premonition. It's not quite ready for 100,000 plus.
Strippers writes in, Rex's comments earlier take on a new meeting. After the Dolphins game, he said, so much of it comes down to fundamentals and technique, Ryan said Monday. In Mark's case, you can't be accurate with the football if you don't have proper footwork. So, Good stuff.
Poor Rex.
Good stuff.
You slip up once, you make one bad videotape.
Well, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad from the Eastern Shore is on it. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you doing, Fred? Merry Christmas to you and
you too.
To Andy, and I guess the other two will be by later.
They'll be by later. This is new for Paul.
I understand. Hey, you know, I've been there, done that. I feel his pain.
You've been by?
So you had done what he's getting done?
Yeah, a number of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
You know we're going to get a story out of this where he gets into some argument with somebody.
Well, he tried to get in an argument with us. I think he got screwed over by having to fast for like 3 days before.
Well, yeah, and he was very cranky yesterday.
Yeah.
Now I know why. He had no food in him.
You know what? I knew it was going to have something to do with a carnival barker.
I've asked a lot of people that had it, and I'll ask you, Brad. Did you have to fast a full day before?
They 2 days before, you really get limited to what you can eat.
Really?
And then you get to take the lovely medicine.
Well, I had the medicine, but I had a 6 a.m. one, and I believe it was after 3 in the afternoon I couldn't eat anything. And then
I think it was a full day before, and then even the supper before that you had to be limited to what you ate. And, like, for a week before, it's like no red Twizzlers, no red Jell-O, no red anything.
Wow.
And
the red thing I remember, you couldn't eat red stuff. But
yeah.
That's because they don't want to mistake it for blood and stuff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, man, tough to bring up a football conversation after the opening comments about foot fetishes and then the two back-to-back dreams.
Hey,
blame
Rex Ryan, man.
Not our fault. We're actually talking newsworthy AFC East stuff today.
Right.
yeah, just get Oprah and a few other people on there, and you guys would be all set. But anyway, tough game, but you know, Fred hung in there on the curse words and kept everybody going straight and narrow, and it was an interesting game, but yet at the same time, glad for the outcome. Hopefully if we figure this out, guys, we had 5 good games, a hiccup in Cleveland, 5 good games, a hiccup against Green Bay, 5 more games. We win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's true. And the way I'm looking at this Green Bay game is, you know, you can look at it from the negative and the positive. I'm looking at it as they had the ball 19 minutes and they won the game.
Exactly.
So that's a sign that, you know, a bad team would not be able to do that.
Against a guy making his first career start.
I'm sorry. You're not giving enough credit to the Green Bay defense. So
no, I am. I'm giving them a lot of credit. But I'm just saying you can look at it a myriad of ways.
Yeah.
And one of them is a guy made his first career NFL start.
It was not a good game. I mean, obviously Bill walked in at least after the game.
He was pissed.
Well, that was a lousy game.
Yep. No question.
Ridiculous.
I think that's something that true Patriots fans appreciate that about Bill. You know, he's not going to come in and say, well, we got the W, so it all ended up okay.
No lipstick on that pig. He called it a pig.
Exactly. But at the same time, I think it's yet again another game where at the end of the day, there were enough things that we could walk away from with positives. You know, McCourty had another excellent game. Brandon Merriweather had another awful game. You know, those are the things we've come to know and love, right? And we deal with those things as fans and as a team.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, and I wrote this, Fred, it was the formula for victory for the 2010 Patriots. You know, they haven't been blowing people out all year. The formula has been, you're going to need a team victory. You're going to need some scores on defense special teams. You're probably going to have to score high 20s, low 30s to win. And your defense is going to give up a lot of yards, points, third downs, whatever. But they're going to have to get a play at some point. And all those things were why you won.
Yep. Right.
And that's the way this team's probably going to have to win three more times in the postseason.
Yeah, I can't imagine at this point the defense is also all of a sudden going to become a shutdown defense. It's just not going to happen.
Or that the offense is just going to be dead nuts perfect and just put up 45 points against regardless of defense.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple questions for you. Seeing as we're nearing the end of the season and wrapping things up, I know there's been a lot of talk in the papers about Taylor Price maybe getting active for a game.
Who? Where? Who's talking about that?
Oh, that was in, I think it was both the Globe and the Herald
really?
Today. You know, kind of like, hey, you know, Edelman's struggling. You know, are we going to get...
I don't think... if it wasn't for punts, I'd say, okay, maybe they will try him, but they're not going to take Edelman out.
Right.
No, that was my response. My response was, okay, let's keep him off the field. Let's put Hernandez on instead of Edelman if we need an extra receiver. But don't get rid of his punt return ability, for crying out loud.
Right.
I mean, the guy is Wes Welker on steroids as a punt returner.
I don't know about that, but he's pretty good.
No, I mean, as far as he's willing to catch the ball and take it upfield.
Right.
That was what we all loved about Welker before his knee injury.
Right.
He'd field the punt and be going vertical at the same time.
Yeah.
And Edelman at least does that. He's not one of these guys that dances around for 10 minutes. So, you know, he's in my same mold as law firm. What is that? He's hitting the hole going forward. You know, he may only get a yard one time, but you know what? He's also going to get 12 or 13 yards one time because he's hitting the hole going forward.
Yeah.
And I think we're seasoned. We've come through the highs and the lows. I think this game is another reality check for us. You know, defense, hey, yeah, you've been winning some games and shutting teams down, but you play crappy, you're going to get your butts kicked, and that's what happened. I think we're going to refocus against Buffalo. I think you'll see Brady, coming out on fire, and you know the defense will tighten up. The running game is there for us. The offensive line, I really hope that Kraft and Belichick and Mankins can sit down in the room and shake hands and walk away happy, because he has made a huge difference in that offensive line.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. Well, thanks for the call. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas.
Right. Running game is going to be key this week and next week.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll work to get Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis 1,000 yards. I do. And I think this week against the Bills, they're a bad run defense. They're last in the league. In Buffalo, wind might be an issue. I think you could see Ben Jarvis have a big week this week.
Yeah. Danny Woodhead. All of the above.
Woodhead, don't go to a break, just so you know.
Why is that?
Kevin's leaving.
Oh, I wasn't.
But now he's not leaving. I don't know what he's doing. He was halfway out the door, and he comes back in.
I'm not going to a break.
I was going
to
get you your pizza for
go that. Ahead.
We figured. Why'd you come back in? I just said don't take a break.
Pepperoni, please. So, yeah, no, I agree. Danny Woodhead out of the backfield, big today. On Sunday. Whether it's catching or running, they're going to need some production out of that tandem
back there. Clear vibe out of the locker room. They bought into the Lou Holtz job that Bill has done this week on the Bills, selling them that
look,
4 of 6 is the Bills. They could have beat the Steelers and beat 5-1. They're buying. They're buying it.
Look, you look at the results lately. This is a team that's fighting, and they're
fighting. I'll give them that.
This is not going to be an easy win. It is not going to be an easy.
If you play to your ability as a New England Patriots, it should be an easy win.
Why?
Because you're superior to them.
I don't think there's much separation between teams this year.
Their defense sucks. You think our defense is bad? Their defense sucks. Sucks.
Paul Posluszny?
Yeah.
He doesn't suck.
He does not suck.
The corners aren't bad.
Their defense is not good. It's just not good. They got a couple guys, but their defense isn't very good. Fred, Bill pulled a U. You remember when you started to say Kevin Falk was one of the best backs in and stopped? He called Fred Jackson one of the best backs in football.
Well, maybe he believes that.
So how come he has 800 yards after 14 games?
Well, because the rest of the team isn't helping him.
So the rest of the team isn't good?
You're talking about offense, okay?
I just don't think the Bills are all. I think this is what the Bills are left with. We win 4 games late in the year. We're trying, and it feels good. Like,
for some reason, the Bills have been able to compete lately.
Because they're trying. I think Chan Gailey's
and
got
the other
them fighting.
Teams aren't?
You know my feelings on this. I think the Patriots win a one-horse race in terms of coming to the field prepared and trying to win football games. We've seen so many jokes. We talked about Miami flew to New York early so that the owner could take the players to Lombardi, the Broadway play,
right,
even though the coach clearly wasn't on board with it.
Right.
That's a joke.
It is.
And I think there are a lot more of those jokes around the other 31 teams than you're aware of.
I'm with you there.
And I'm not trying to diminish the Patriots winning, but I think there's a lot of flat-out losers in football organizations.
The consistency in the solid nature of the Patriots organization is
tremendous.
A big plus in the NFL. You're absolutely
and it's why
right.
They win.
Don't underestimate that. From Kraft on down, don't
right.
underestimate the solid foundation that this team has. And you know, because there's a lot of teams that don't have
they
it.
Don't. And I think that makes a difference. That's why you go nine wins every, you know, yeah. 10 years in a row with nine wins or whatever the record is. I mean, there's a core to it. It's not just Brady and Belichick. There's a core vibe, and everyone's on the same page, and I don't think you have that everywhere. Maybe Chan Gailey's doing that to a small degree in Buffalo, where Fitzpatrick's scrappy and Fred right. Jackson's scrappy, and even Chan Gailey as a coach is scrappy. He wasn't their, what is he, like their sixth choice? You right. know, they got turned down. Maybe they kind of got this vibe well, going.
Something to prove.
Yeah, us yeah. against the world.
Yeah, sure.
And you win four games, and it feels great, but it's four games. You're not going to the playoffs. You're not. I personally don't believe you're setting the foundation for the future. I don't think Fred Jackson is a franchise back. I don't think Fitzpatrick is a franchise receiver. I mean, a franchise quarterback. I don't even know if Steve Johnson, he's a nice story. Is he a number one receiver you can build around? What do you have? What do you really have other than four late season meaningless victories?
Bear from New Jersey says, Andy, why would you not take the win as a positive sign because it was against a guy with his first career start? He threw three TDs. Green Bay scored 27 points, which is right around what they've been scoring all year, except for the 45-point win over Dallas. I'm with Fred on this one. We held the ball for 19 minutes and won. We still got Green Bay's best shot. It's a good win.
It's a good win. It's the perfect win for Belichick, but you just made my point. A guy made his first career start, and they didn't miss a beat. He looked like their Pro Bowl quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, a guy that people have included in the next tier of quarterbacks in football, right? Isn't that a problem?
Sure.
When you allow a guy making his first career start to look that good, I think that's a problem. I think that's a bad sign. That was my point. Who was that?
That was Bear from New Jersey.
Yeah.
New emailer.
Really?
I haven't, well, I haven't never seen Bear.
Haven't never seen Bear. But you know what Bear does in the woods.
That's right. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Daniel writes in, he's a first-time emailer, says he loves the show. I know we're all disappointed the Patriots didn't come out with a W. Well, they did. But I've got to say, after watching the TiVo over and over again, we have something to watch for this playoff season. This is not the same game as what we did against the Browns last time. There are so many bright spots that we can cheer for. When the defense needed to make a stop, they did step up and made a few key stops in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
We've been devastated by injuries on defense, especially in the front. And in my opinion, if spikes were there, we would have made a lot more third down stops, as Guyton constantly missing tackles on running plays. I don't think Guyton is best to play running downs, at least not every single running down. Merriweather is not helping much either. The first touchdown we gave up, all because he mispositioned himself and bumped into either Arrington or McCourty.
McCourty.
So on one of them, he couldn't even make the tackle. He makes me feel like he's playing for the opposing team sometimes, because it was not the first time that happened this season. I think Cunningham and Ninkovich have been playing very well, but our inside is not protected because of the injuries. If we have all our or most of our defense front guys healthy, we may be able to go back to the last few games where we pretty much shut down the opponent. Dane Fletcher played pretty well on a couple of downs. Can we sub him inside also? Back to offense, I don't know what happens to our red-hot offense, even though they're still good in the red zone and they're not turning over balls. But they did very well on the last touchdown drive. I think it's all because they picked up the tempo going no huddle. On that drive, they killed the Green Bay defense. However, what worries me is what they did after the defense forced a three and out. They gave another three and out to the opponent. In general, I think start up slow on defense is always the style and pattern the Patriots offense plays, but the last drive they had, they couldn't kill the game when the game was on the line. That worries me. Blah, blah, blah. I see us going to the Super Bowl before that drive. Now I'm not so sure. If we can't kill the game when we need to, we can't go very far in the playoffs, not to mention winning a Super Bowl. What do you think? I think, Daniel, that you're riding too much of an emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
I think you're taking what you saw last and saying that's who they are. And I think you have to look more of the bigger picture here.
And the Packers are a pretty good defense. And we've talked about that they have some of the pieces, pressure-wise and coverage-wise, to disrupt this passing attack. And they did. You know, they got physical a little bit with Branch and kind of limited him. And, you know, they were in Welker's pocket a number of times when he had drops or catchable balls. They got some pressure up the middle where they did that game with Raji, and he got the hit. So I don't think every team just rolls out the type of personnel that they have and that is capable of matching up a little bit against this offense. Do I think they played great? No, I don't think it was their best performance offensively. But I think, as Bill would say, you got to give the Packers some credit.
Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about something Pat Kerwin wrote on NFL.com. I thought it was interesting, and get back to some more of your emails. We'll be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
I love dicks as well.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred and Andy here. Paul's not getting his procedure today. Eric will be by later. Anthony in North Carolina writes in, Mike Reese posted a link to Pat Curran's write-up analyzing Brady against pressure, and it was an interesting read. While I don't agree with some of the comments around the Packers' three sacks being something that can be brushed off as breakdowns that the Pats will correct, the stat of Brady's record when sacked three or more times since 03 was staggering when compared to other QBs, 19-4. I know stats can be skewed a number of ways, and the Pats won in a bunch of different ways, but I still found it an interesting read. The story by Kerwin can be found on NFL.com, and it's entitled Battering Brady Makes Sense in Theory, But It's Risky. And he did indeed break down the record of Tom Brady when he was sacked three or more times since 2003. And Brady's record is 19-4. Brett Favre is 11-11. Peyton Manning is 6-5. Drew Brees is 5-14. And Michael Vick is 15-19. So it is interesting. And, you know, it's a long article, and he has diagrams and everything. And Pat's really good. He actually wrote a book recently that I would recommend about how to watch football. It makes a great gift. But anyway, Pat was a former GM and really knows the game. And basically his theory is that, you know, Brady is so smart that the second time around he's going to figure it out. Because I heard a lot of people say, well, now Green Bay and Dom Capers, now they've written the blueprint on how to play the Patriots. And Kerwin's point is, no, you know, the next team that tries to do that same thing is going to get burned because Brady is so smart. And but I would really suggest reading it. It's on NFL.com. Pat Kerwin, again, the headline is Battering Brady Makes Sense in Theory, But It's Risky. So
did he break it down any more than just three or more? Like, is it four or more, five or more? Were there other?
No, he didn't.
I tell you what I found most interesting there. All the numbers you gave were like 25 games,
right,
except for Manning is 6-5 or 5-4, whatever.
They don't sack him much.
It's, that, to me, is for a guy who throws the ball so much and is the centerpiece, yeah, of that, it's so amazing.
That's a testament to the Manning, I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
He sees it and he gets rid of
it. He gets rid of it quickly.
Yep.
That is amazing. Because Brady, I don't want to like poo-poo this, but I think a lot of the stuff with him, he has a winning record no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, they've won a lot of games. You know, they went 14-2, 14-2, 17-0, 12-2. There's not a lot of losses in there of any kind to find. So it makes sense that he's going to have positive stats.
Well, look at the, was it the Jets game?
It's like the Patriots this year. You know what their record, did Flynn throw for 300 yards?
No, he didn't. He threw for like 265.
Okay. You know what their record is when allowing a 300-yard passer this year?
Yeah, it's probably crazy.
It's 5-0.
Right.
Last year it was 0-5.
Yeah.
I just think these numbers, sometimes we get too caught up in numbers.
Right.
And I also think, sure, Brady will be better. I think he learns from every game he plays. I think that's why he's great, because he changes his game. It's a, you know, the cat and mouse, and reacts to things differently. But I still get back to, I'm not sure everybody has the personnel to try,
yeah,
to just
true,
play the blueprint that supposedly the Packers put out there.
Manish writes in, Warren Sapp was pretty much insulting.
Is this your brother's child or your sister's child?
Manish.
My niece, get it, my niche.
No, I didn't get that.
It was no worse than he thought it was a game of inches and
really,
then a game of feet.
It's really a stretch. It wasn't good.
It was kind of like your first 3 foot.
Warren Sapp was pretty much insulting Matt Flynn that how could a pre-Super Bowl favorite Packers have such an inexperienced, young, and bad backup quarterback. Flynn showed us he is pretty good and shut Warren Sapp's mouth. He was having fun, laughing, and looked pretty comfortable. He was very good until the last drive, and I guarantee you that Merriweather is going to have a pick six in the AFC Championship game against the Colts, and then you will all praise him. Don't forget that he was a Pro Bowl player last year.
No, he wasn't. He went to the Pro Bowl. There's a difference.
Maybe he was just having a bad year like Brady did in 09. Brady was not Brady last season. What do you guys think?
Brady's worst year ever at any level in Little League is far better than
everyone sucks but me.
He was not a Pro Bowler. He went to the Pro Bowl. Can we make that differentiation, Fred? He went to the Pro Bowl. He was not a Pro Bowler, did not have a great year. Half his picks came against Josh Johnson when he threw them right to him. I mean, let's call it what it is. That's so disrespectful to Tom Brady to compare.
Sounds like Manish is a big Merriweather fan.
Yeah. Sounds like Manish is Chris Gasper from the Boston Globe.
Matt in Virginia says, is it safe to say that Fred Taylor is one of the biggest disappointments this team has had in recent years? Barring his unveiling as a secret postseason weapon, all he seems to do is occupy a roster spot.
Well, he's been hurt,
well,
right, for 2 years.
It's still disappointing.
Is it really? Or is it exactly what you should have expected when you signed Fred Taylor?
No, it's disappointing.
I think disappointing would be if he couldn't play.
But I think
from what I've seen him on the field, he can play.
I wouldn't give up hope on him this year because, you know, he's been in, he looked okay, and I think that the fact that, you know, you don't have to use him that much yet is a positive.
Was the re-signing of Stephen Neal one of the biggest disappointments of the offseason? I mean, he's on IR. You haven't got that much.
I think any guy that you thought was going to be a big contributor that gets hurt, it's disappointing.
I guess. I'm just not disappointed in Taylor because when he's played, I think he's been okay. He just hasn't played hardly at all. And I think you should have expected that with a 30-plus-year-old running back who was always hurt early in his career, too.
Fred in Halifax says, just wanted to let you guys know when you step up to the plate and hit the ball out. You guys are always getting crap about not talking about football and getting sidetracked with off-topic arguments and conversations. Well, last month you guys were talking about the ESPN 30 on 30 show on Marcus Dupree. We didn't get ESPN in Canada, so I did not think I was going to be able to see the show. As luck would have it, ABC showed it 2 weeks ago. I knew the name Marcus Dupree, but I didn't know the story. I don't think I've ever seen a player on film like Dupree. You would think the highlights were from a four-year career, not just about 10 games with the Sooners. So thanks, guys, for giving a heads up on this show. And do yourself a favor and see the episode on the SMU football program. P.S. I got to see Animal House last night on TV. Oh, my God, Fred, you are flounder. Check it out. All right.
Were you flounder in college?
No.
No?
No. Not at all.
Freddie, where'd you go to school?
Various places.
I started at the University of Tampa, and I ended at Emerson.
And he took a motorcycle from one to the other that ran out of gas in New Jersey or Connecticut or somewhere. It's all true. All true. Fact, not opinion. Right?
Yeah. You went to Syracuse?
Oh. That's Jason. I went to UMass Amherst. I took the state school discount.
Sure.
Sure. More and more people are doing that, except the discount's not as great anymore. I keep reading these articles that's going up.
Yeah, when I went, it wasn't bad. It was like 14, which isn't terrible. I got into like Northeastern and stuff, and it was almost triple the tuition, so I was like, this isn't worth it.
I agree. Wish my wife had done that. I wouldn't be paying off college loans these days.
Let's see. Cormac says Cormac was in last week with gifts, and he says, I hope you're all doing well this Christmas. Fred, did you try your Talking Freddy? I did, but it kept talking to me every time I opened it up. Paul,
did you try it?
I didn't try it. Paul, did you cook some pasta for the family? Eric, did you listen to How to Be Popular CD? And Andy and Kevin, I hope the head massager is still managing to make it move for you.
It does. I use it daily.
And my wife used it, and she enjoyed it as well.
Really?
I don't know if it moved. But
wanted to just share some comments from the game on Sunday night. Obviously an important victory, and at the end of the day, it's what matters. However, we were a bit sucky for a lot of the game. I suppose I can't blame Brady, as defenses know that pressuring Brady is the best way to beat this offense. The running game seemed to evaporate.
And sucky, sucky, sucky.
And those penalties in key situations really hurt us. Plus, Packers are a top five defense. We can't forget that. Connolly's run back was the definite highlight of the game. I suppose in some sense I can understand the subpar performance. Everyone thought we'd beat the Packers, and the last time we all were as confident this season was against the Browns. I know Welker said afterwards that they don't take the game any less seriously with Rodgers out, but it has to have an impact in some way. A few things about the experience, because Cormac was here.
Yes, way up in the nosebleeds.
I think the foghorn sound works really well. I can't tell which player it is doing the make some noise pieces to the camera. Is it Wheatley? But the silent one is a bit gay, but the one where the person speaks is better.
The Woodhead one?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I think that was the only
I think on. That's, I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Well, I think one of them was messed up, right? Kev? Hello? This is radio. Giving you your opportunity. You want an AK-47 show. The Woodhead one looked like it was sped up or timing was off.
Yeah, it was a little off, and that's the one that doesn't have the sound where he's just kind of going like that with his ear.
When are we going to pull the plug on those?
I don't know. Merriweather speaks, I think, in his.
Yeah.
And maybe Dion Branch.
Let's make some sound.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, the replay facility is a bit sucky. There were lots of times I wanted to see replays, but it didn't happen.
But you got a good replay of
finally
stuff.
Finally, the highlights of the other game were also a bit sucky. There was time during halftime to to show 5 to 6 minutes of highlight compilation of all the games, but it didn't happen, which I felt was a shame.
Wow. Cool. In stadium entertainment really let Cormac down.
But okay, complaints over.
We have revenue stuff, though.
Thanks for having me in the studio last Thursday and looking forward the Dan Heffron Christmas poem.
That's right.
As we all are.
On Thursday, the highlight of the holiday season here at PFW in Progress.
Right.
So Cormac seemed somewhat happy with the game, but the overall experience, I'd say, left him wanting for more.
Yeah.
But what was that word? Revenue? We had to make money? What do you make money on at halftime? I thought they were supposed to have red zone.
Well, we have red zone hits throughout the game, and those are, you know, they pay to have their product up there.
Oh,
and
red zone does?
Yeah, well, Verizon, I think. And
I thought that was us. I thought red zone was the NFL, which is us.
Well, it is.
Well, I don't know, but they
pay Peter to steal from Peter to pay Paul. What are we doing?
But we have like spots, like Gillette spots, and like, you know, 30-second spots that we play at halftime. We have announcements. Then if there's a day of game sponsor, like, remember, I think for American Airlines had like a contest where you had to put on the uniform and run back in the Pepsi bottle.
Yeah.
And then
I like the moving Pepsi bottle one.
Yeah, that seems to be a hit every year. And then we had when Verizon was the day of game sponsor, we had they had to throw the footballs through the hole. So we have all this. When there's a day of game sponsor,
for that?
Well, when there's a sponsor, they have the right to, you know, host a contest or something at halftime.
What does it cost to get that?
I don't know. You have to ask the marketing people.
We have
upstairs.
Today's sponsor, Andy, and his halftime contest is.
But they get their signage everywhere. Jeez. On the 50-yard line.
Okay.
But so we have those things, and then we have probably 4 minutes to 5 minutes worth of commercial spots / announcements that John Rook reads when we get into halftime.
Okay.
So you can have a pole dance.
It would be cool, though. I agree with Cormac. It'd be cool
for Gronkowski.
You could have Gronkowski and Gostkowski doing the hustle.
You're so predictable.
But if we had like 10 minutes, you know, you have 10 minutes worth of highlights, it would be amazing for the fans. The fans would love it. But
why don't you do it?
Because I think we need to make money to pay all of our salaries.
Can't do both?
I don't. Well, that's the compromise between. That's why we do the hits during.
How
the
about
game.
Charge more, have less commercials, and then have time to do those types of highlights?
Because
then the commercials would be more effective.
Right.
And
I don't know.
Would be
I'm
more
not,
entertaining.
I don't know what it's like for the guys to sell that. I don't know.
I don't know
how hard it is, or what if the market's down and it's tough to sell that stuff, or I don't know.
Yeah.
As you would say, it's a 12-2 football team. If you can't sell this, I don't know what you can sell.
Exactly.
James in Brisbane. Hey, guys. Hope Paul's having a good time taking it up the... Let's not go there.
Please, let's not.
I was listening to the Dan Patrick podcast yesterday and heard a good debate topic, not in the league of your great debate, but still. Will Devin Hester eventually make the Hall of Fame? I think he will get in so long as teams are dumb enough to keep kicking to him. If he keeps running kicks back, people will take notice.
But he maximizes his opportunities. I don't know what the number was, but I watched the beginning of that game, and they kicked everyone out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then they finally kicked it to him,
and
he does it. Like, he only needs one or two a game, and he...
Hey, even Deion Sanders said he's a better returner than I was.
He is tremendous, ridiculous. And he had a little hiccup there during the conversion to wide receiver. He went like 2 years where he didn't... He might not have had any returns for touchdowns, but now he's back. He's still, I mean, he scored a touchdown as a receiver. Now he's found the ability to do both, to make the big plays in the kicking game and still contribute as a receiver. He's certainly on it. Record-wise, he's well on his way to a Hall of Fame career. If there's going to be a returner, he's got to be in the conversation.
That also got me thinking about the Patriots special teams. As much fun as Connolly's return was, and I'd love to see him do it again, I don't think he has a full-time job in that role. If Brandon Tate has a future in the offense, I don't want to see him returning kicks after this season. On his returns lately, he just seems timid.
Well, first of all, it doesn't look like he has a future in the offense based on anything he's done right now. He needs to create a role for himself as a full-time kick returner whose impact is huge and that he can just do that.
Right.
But have you seen anything that leads you to believe he has a future in this offense as a regular contributor?
He's had a couple good catches, but
what?
We need to see more.
I've seen one.
What?
One.
Which one?
2 weeks ago.
No, the one in Chicago, then he had one in the end zone here against the Jets where he got the...
He almost landed out of bounds. I think he created a question there that didn't need to be there. And then that one where he uncovered and the long one that Brady found him, that's just a broken play. I'm talking about plays where he runs a route, beats his man, Brady hits him in stride, and it's a big play.
I'm with you, Andy. I haven't seen anything.
I don't see it. I just don't see it. To me, he's proving himself
I need to see
a
more.
Fifth or sixth receiver and a kick returner.
And the kick returning aspect of his game has diminished greatly since the start of the season. So why not? I mean, Taylor Price could take his spot.
Well, you still need the returner, though. They don't have really another proven returner.
At the rate he's returning kicks, I mean.
Yeah, but he hasn't fumbled.
You watch, he'll break.
You can put Matthew Slater back there and he could fumble.
Sammy Morris won't fumble either.
I don't know if it's injuries and roster depleting
Samoa.
His resources, but it seems as though when the temperature drops, so do his return numbers. As for Edelman, well, at least he's getting on the field, but it doesn't seem that Bill trusts him fully, sending Wes out for punts inside the red zone. He did have some good run backs against Chicago, and I give him credit for that. I remember Cordy and Butler were practicing there at some points, but no way do I risk the rookie's groove on D right now. Nope. Anyway, what do you think about the state of the return game?
I think Edelman's been decent of late. I mean, good. But the kick return game has been, other than Dan Conley, kind of non-existent. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's scheme, blocking. I mean, it's hard to tell in the hectic nature of watching the play live or whatever. I don't think he's been as decisive of late, but I'm guessing the blocking hasn't been as good of late either. But I'm fine with Edelman back there on punts. I have no desire to change that.
Pete in the UK says there was a great line on Pro Football Talk. Rex didn't come to kiss Belichick's rings, his bare feet. Now, that would be another matter.
It's going to be raining for Rex for a while with these types of things.
Well, you know, that's what happens.
What? He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything illegal.
Stupid.
Didn't do anything inappropriate, really.
He did something stupid.
Embarrassing. It's not even stupid.
I had something pop into my head that you said, I think, 2 weeks ago that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, you're talking about Brandon Tate and the kick returns, because this has been an issue for a couple months.
Yeah.
I think you said something along the lines of he needs to start just trying to get to, like, the 30 or the 35 and not hit the home run on every play and get stuck behind the 20 when somebody misses a block or he runs sideways. And I think that makes sense. Like,
pop on some old Ellis Hobbs
If he can just get us field position, outside the 30, like, a couple times a game, you're at least showing some signs of being a value to the team.
Well, it's basically a proven fact. If you just hit it up there as fast as you can,
you're going to get somewhere.
And you're going to break some.
Yeah.
You don't have to look to break them to break them. They're going to come to you.
I think he's thinking too much about trying to score every time he touches the ball.
I do too. Maybe it's in his head. Maybe he's hearing it internally. What are you doing? And you know, it's kind of like the Lawrence Maroney thing, looking for the big run to kind of validate himself. And the more you look for it, sometimes it's like when they tell you in baseball, the harder you swing, you're not going to hit a home run. It's when you're comfortable and just trying to hit the ball, drive the ball, that's when you hit the home run. Well, these guys are trying to hit a home run every time, and it doesn't work.
TG and NJ says, Andy, the LFL, which is the Lingerie Football League, is real. I'm surprised you aren't familiar with it. It's got everything you like, football and breasts. Trust me, Andy, it will move a lot.
Stripper sent me a link to it. I looked around the website a little bit yesterday, but they are still having their big game halftime bowl or whatever. Okay. So maybe I'll check that out. Now, do they have pay-per-view version? I mean, is it?
Well, there's locker room access afterwards.
Is there?
After each game.
I'd like to have that access. I'd be like Eric, staring at players.
It's nice.
Do they really have locker room access?
I don't know.
I mean, they should. If it wants to be a real league,
well,
that's what leagues do.
Rex will watch.
But they don't in the WNBA, right? Do men go in the WNBA locker room? I don't think so.
I don't think there's a need.
I don't want to. I mean, I'm just saying.
No.
After our Rebecca Lobo talk the other day?
Yeah. She's Brett and Lemonster, I just want to say that Dan Connolly is an inspiration to fat guys like me in the same way that Danny Woodhead is an inspiration to short guys like me. So Brett would fit right into this show.
Brett is short and fat?
I guess so. Who's getting it worse today, Paul without drugs or Sexy Rexy?
Paul should be done and home and happy now.
At least Paul's not having any toes stuck up there.
It doesn't take long?
No. It's not very long at all. That's what she said. No, I think they've perfected the drugs, so they knock you out, they wake you up, you don't remember it, get a little extra gas, but beyond that, you're ready to go home and eat.
No, okay.
Can you imagine what he's going to eat after going 2 days?
Talk
being
about
totally
breaking
empty?
Fast.
I mean.
Holy mackerel.
There's going to be just pizza.
He might eat
burgers.
His kids if they stand still long enough.
Yeah, that could get ugly this afternoon at the Perillo house.
Oh. He's going to have to bring in.
Could lose weight, too. I lost weight when I had mine.
Aunt Carmela's going to have to come over with her meatballs.
With her sauce, that's a good meatball.
All right. Let's see. Hey, guys, and Eric, you guys were discussing Eric's what player uniforms you'd get. I got a Brewski back in 01 because of his Italian last name. Here's a little story from you. My sister was dating a player and invested in a couple custom-made jerseys and hoodies with his name on the back. He even gave my father a jersey for his birthday. Needless to say, my sister and he broke up. What do you do with all those jerseys? I guess Andy's theory of only getting long-term star types is a good one. Great show as always. I live in New Jersey and get the paper. Funny enough, my mailman is a huge Pats fan. We talk Pats stuff all the time because he noticed I get PFW. All right. Merry Christmas.
Do you get it late? Does he take it home for a night, read it, and then bring it to you the next day? Because that's what our circulation manager accuses a lot of mailmen of doing.
Well, Matt lives in Secaucus, New Jersey.
What?
That's his. That's the name of the Secaucus, New Jersey.
What is it now? You're saying a little differently now.
Secaucus.
Who? He didn't list the player?
No.
I want to know.
He didn't.
Check back in, Matt. I want to know which player it is. I think it's funny if there's... I always use this as the most unknown player. Cole Ayi. If it was Cole Ayi that she was dating and she's got like authentic Cole Ayi jerseys out there.
At least she didn't get a tattoo with his name on.
Well, no one should get a tattoo.
John in Largo, Florida, you guys talk about Gronkowski a lot, and I know you also talk about Hernandez, but not nearly as much. Gronk is a big target, 6'6", compared to Hernandez at 6'1". But looking at the stats, Hernandez bests Gronk in receptions, total yards, average yards, while Gronk has 7 TDs, only one more than Hernandez. Is Gronk better than Hernandez, and does he deserve more hype than you guys give him?
Depends what you're looking for. Are you looking for a great football player? Then Rob Gronkowski is there. Are you looking for just a pure pass catcher? Because that's Hernandez.
I think these guys' assessment of these two that they made before the season was spot on.
Maybe our best ever.
Yeah.
And I don't like to brag. Well, I
Who
do,
they
but.
Were and what they were going to bring to the team is exactly what they actually have brought to
and
the team.
If you remember, second week of training camp maybe, Bill O'Brien was talking, and he said there's still a long way to go, but right now these guys are who we thought they were when we drafted them. And they're filling in the roles. And one is a slot receiver.
Right.
He's always going to have more catches, always going to have more yards. Touchdowns will be competitive year to year. And that's Hernandez. Gronkowski to me, and Collinsworth talked about it, he should get Pro Bowl recognition or at least consideration. To me, he's an old-school, well-rounded tight end. That doesn't fly in today's NFL. Because Mike Reese, I was talking about this with him this morning, he said, wow, I was surprised that Collinsworth said that, so I immediately went to the stats to look at his stats. And then he said, but I realized that's not what you can do with Gronkowski. It's not a stat vote. He's a good receiver, a very good receiver.
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
It's about all the other stuff he does as a blocker and in motion and pass protection and helping out the tackles, being the lead blocker in some of the running schemes they have. I think Gronkowski is a tremendous football player. I know we give him a lot of grief for kind of being happy-go-lucky and maybe not quite a super intellect or whatever you want to call it, but
right.
I think he's a phenomenal football player. I really do. Hernandez is good. Don't get me wrong. But is he great? I don't know. I mean, it kind of gets back to the discussion yesterday. Slot receivers, this offense. If you're good, are you going to put up numbers just by being good? Now, not anybody can do it. I mean, Joey Galloway, it didn't work. There's guys that don't fit. But if you're good enough to get on the field and fit, you're going to put up some numbers, I think, in some of these spread passing sets. So I think Gronkowski is going to be a Pro Bowl tight end. Certainly if people get out of the mindset of who's the tight end with the most receptions,
he's
voting for him.
Shannon Sharp.
Right.
Yeah.
People go to Gates or Sharp, or they just look for the guy with 80 catches. He won't be that guy, but I think he's a great young player. Right. Did you read the story in the Globe today? I thought there were some good comments from what's his name? Greg Bedard wrote the story about Hernandez and Gronkowski. He's obviously from Green Bay, Bedard, so he still has connections to that coaching staff, and he got one of their assistants to talk about him. And the assistant said Hernandez was kind of what we thought he was and was good and was a matchup problem. That's what he is. It's what he was in college. He was surprised by Gronkowski in person. He thought he was much better in person than what he saw in film. He thought on film he was a little awkward, kind of athletically, but he said in person, he does all he needs to do in his pass routes, basically. I'm paraphrasing here. And he said, you see it, when he's going to be in the red zone, he just finds the guy who's covering him, runs up to him, and almost posts up like a basketball player, and just knows, I'm going to catch this. You know, I have the hands and the size and the ability. He did it to Urlacher on the goal line.
Yep.
I just think he's a rare talent, and they rolled the dice.
And we saw that all pre and training camp.
All you saw it on tape. It's why I fell in love with him. He was so smooth, the hands. And again, I was talking to Mike Reese about this. I think this is what they wanted all along when they drafted Graham. Sure, you want the big plays and the screens and hurdling guys, but you want a guy that Brady can throw it to and know at the end of the play he's going to have the football. He's going to catch it. He's going to score touchdowns. If there's a linebacker on him, it's still a mismatch for me. I think that's what Gronkowski is. I think he's a great young player. And the back is still an issue. Let's be honest. They rolled the dice to get him. He hadn't played in a whole year, and I saw it today when he took a shot. He's still got that inch-and-a-half scar on his lower spine with the back surgery, and you're always, to me, I agree with Paul on that aspect, you're one play away. Back injuries are, they can kind of be gone for a year or two, but you always still have that fear in the back of your mind that the guy's going to take a hit and it's going to be right back.
McNulty writes in, have you guys heard about Rex Ryan's, well, yeah, we heard about that.
His what? What are we talking about? I'm not familiar.
His foot fetish. Let's see. Well, it's funny how it's turned into his wife's foot fetish. Now it's Rex Ryan's. But he must be interested in it as well, because you wouldn't be taking video of
there.
It.
I mean, he took part in it.
Right.
So if you like breasts, is it a breast fetish? What is a fetish? Is it?
Well,
is
we
fetish
all implies, have that.
Right. Well, does fetish imply strange?
Yeah, when
outside
everyone has it, then it's not a fetish.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would my fetish be? What's your fetish?
Well, I like that.
What?
Breasts.
That you just said that's not a fetish.
I like.
What do you like that's a little different?
I like voluptuous bodies.
Specifically, bottoms.
I like that, too.
You like big butts, and you cannot lie.
I like that. My mom works in endoscopy and
performs one of those
colonoscopies, and said Paul should have flown down to Florida so she could have done it. And finally, my daughter says, go Patriots. She's 3. Give her a shout-out, please. Her name is Phelan Ray. Well, shout-out done. Now, why is...
Merry Christmas, Phelan Ray.
But that's funny that Paul has somebody that's actually asking to
stick
perform
something up his butt.
Yeah.
It's weird.
What can we do to get...
I would not want to know the person.
Maybe that was
I wouldn't want the person to know who
I
am.
I want
Maybe that was an email from Paul's friend who does the elevator during training camp.
Oh, yeah. He does have some lady friends that are around.
That's true.
But, yeah, I would want complete anonymity. That's a tough word for me. I don't want them knowing me. I don't want to know them. I mean, if you see them at a party, you know this person's been staring at your bunghole. I mean, it's just awkward.
What would happen if, like, video of Paul's procedure made the internet?
I would throw up.
But you only see his face while it's happening. Oh, no, you're asleep while it's happening.
Yeah, you're asleep. You're out. But they roll you on your side, and you know what they're doing. You know they're preparing to shove it up your butt.
You're about to be violated.
You are.
Oh.
I just think that's such a
James Marshall wants to know, he's a longtime listener, and I don't know why he's asking this question if he is. Being that you work for the Crafts, do you get any additional access to the players that other media would not get?
No.
Well, as you would know, we don't. We might run into them sometimes, but as far as the opportunity to talk to them or get any, no.
One-on-ones. It's not like we have access to the locker room and, I forgot to talk to so-and-so, and I just go down and buzz myself in and talk to him in the, 5 o'clock at night. No. We're in there between whatever the 45-minute window is for open locker room for the media to be in there is when we talk to him. If it doesn't happen then, we don't get to talk to him.
Stripper says that Terrell Suggs voted for Fitzpatrick for MVP or the Pro Bowl over Brady. Suggs, the Ravens' star pass rusher, not to mention the NFL's loudest Brady basher, had filled out his Pro Bowl ballot earlier that day. He was asked who he'd selected at the quarterback position. Let's see. Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. No Brady. He of 31 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and league best 109.9 passer rating, not to mention an October victory over Suggs' team. Suggs shrugged. I'm pretty sure he didn't vote for me either.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate. They have a nice little feud going, a feud that I'd like to see renewed here in January. Because it seems like they legitimately hate each other at this point. And when they, obviously can cross paths on the football field, I'd be entertained to see it. I need strippers to look something up for me. I was told this last week, or this week actually. Look it up, strippers, or Kevin if you're not busy. I was told that as of right now, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have identical career passer ratings. which I find remarkable, that the two quarterbacks who are most debated 10-plus years into their career, some stupid formula would spit out that they're exactly identical right now. Look that up, Kev. I believe it's 94.9 I saw or something like that.
Dave writes in, I'm a relatively new listener. I listen online every day at work and love the show. I'm an active duty Marine from New Hampshire, currently stationed in Quantico, Virginia, where all I get for sports radio is listening to Skins fans bash Shanahan 24 hours a day. I was so happy when they finally got off the Haynesworth topic, but now it's all Shanny and it's incredibly annoying radio, but I digress. Superstitious as I am, I hate to throw the S word around, so I'll avoid using that word, but should the Pats make it to the big dance, the Eagles offense scares the crap out of me. The deep defensive packages that the Pats seem to always play would allow for Vic to get 6 yards or more per carry all day long, and our pass rush isn't that great, as was displayed against the Packers. Am I wrong to be worried, or are the Eagles potentially an offense based around the Patriots' defensive weaknesses?
I would be worried about Vic because, is it accurate? Are they both the same, 94.9?
Brady is 94.94, and Manning is 94.93.
That's ridiculous. Wow. That's just ridiculous. After this many pass attempts, those two...
Guy did an article on Sports Illustrated about it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Getting back to Vic, I mean, he's an athletic matchup nightmare. I mean, he's the best athlete on the field. I would think Bill's philosophy would be, I think you'd rush none. I mean, I think Bill would absolutely flood the coverages and have maybe Vince Wilfork rushing and nobody else, and just say, you know what, I'm not gonna pressure you and then give you seams and gaps to run through. I'm just gonna sit back. There's gonna be three guys deep, three guys over the middle, three guys short. If you beat us that way, you beat us. I don't think you can beat us with your arm.
Yeah,
that's what I think Bill would do. I think he would absolutely try to confuse him, fluster him with coverage, and just flood the zones.
Lastly, I'm a 5'7 guy that would love to rock a Woodhead jersey. Apart from being a little guy, his fearless personality and ability to break big tackles are definitely something to admire. And in reality, if Tom Brady were at Modell's selling his jersey, about half the people wouldn't know who he was either. Most people this time of year are buying them as gifts and aren't likely big fans anyhow. I don't know about Brady. I think that his people are aware of him even if you're not a football fan.
And he's pretty distinct.
Yeah.
Not just the hair now, but the dimpled chin and just...
Yeah.
He's pretty...
I mean, I don't follow music, but I would certainly know who Molly Cyrus was, for example.
Miley?
I think... Miley. Is that her name?
Yeah, not Molly.
Molly? I think I know what it... Yeah, because I see her...
But she's on TV. And
yeah.
Would you
so is Brady.
Would you know Lady Gaga if she wasn't dressed up as a freak?
No.
I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't know Katy Perry. I mean...
Well,
I probably wouldn't.
You could tell that cleavage anywhere.
But if she would just dress normally and in shopping, I might not notice her.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that would fall under that.
Yeah, that's true. But Brady's pretty distinct. I mean, he's 6'5".
He is. To me, the height is the biggest issue that gives people away. Because no matter whether it's an athlete or not, you notice somebody who's 6'5 and up, 6'4, and you're automatically, you look closer. You see, if the person is 6 feet or under, they just all blend into the crowd. Everybody's the same height.
Right.
Kind of like the opposite. If it was really short, you'd notice, like, I don't know, the guy from Different Strokes.
Hervé Villechaize.
Who?
The guy from Fantasy Island.
And is that accurate?
The plane, boss, the plane.
He blew Miley Cyrus, so I don't know if Hervé.
He blew Miley Cyrus?
He did.
Well, she just turned 18, so.
It's legal. You got a thing for Miley Cyrus?
No,
why
I don't.
Bring her up?
I don't. I was trying to think of, like, a pop star that, you know, is out there.
Brett's a big Hannah Montana fan.
That's the same person, right?
I know, yeah.
Okay.
It's a TV show. It's a character.
When my kid's playing Xbox, you know, he's got the headset on. He's got the headset on, and he's talking to his friends, you know, and they're all big. I'll yell, hey, Connor, Hillary Duff's on TV right now. You wanted to watch it, right? You know, and shut up.
You're not real mature, huh?
No, I'm not.
I appreciate that because I'm not either. I just think, look at this thing.
What?
That white thing on his tongue.
Oh,
I don't know what it is. I think it's a dead taste bud. It's massive.
But why don't you just bite it off?
Oh.
I would do that. I would have to bite it off. I would not.
I had a burn on my lip the other day, and I was told to bite it off so it didn't get all nasty.
Yeah, I would have to bite that off.
I was chasing my kids around the house with it this morning, telling them I was going to lick them with it.
Oh.
Real mature, Andy.
I would have to get rid of that really quick.
It'll fall off in a day or two.
I would have to
You've never got these?
No.
I've never seen anything like that.
It's like I'll feel like something starts to bother me, and then I play with it, like with your tooth. You rub it up against your tooth. You feel it, and then it gets bigger. And
what have you licked that gave you that?
Lord only knows.
God knows.
Let's see. Eric will be by later. I'm really sorry I didn't do this earlier, but I know why the ratings are down. It's me. I only subscribe to the PF show, and I'll tell you why. Although I love the Rook show as well.
All we care about
Shop
is the PFW
Talk
show.
Show. My favorite behind PFW was the fantasy football show.
Ugh.
Well, I got a new computer this fall and as well a new iPod. I was able to find the PFW show on iTunes, but that was it. Have you guys dropped these other shows? I don't think you dropped all of them. I'm no Chris Ferreira. I really don't know a lot about the internet and how podcasts are found in iTunes.
Nor does he.
Well, maybe I am smart as Chris. Does he really have a job?
Yes, he does. He's just not very good at it.
That's not true.
He'll be angry. He'll walk by my cube later.
He's one of the best webmasters in the NFL.
AFC East.
NFL.
AFC East.
And sports.
Come on.
Professional sports teams.
In all of professional
Absolutely.
Sports. Are you being serious?
Yes, I am.
If he left today and was looking for a job recommendation.
They'd hire him in a minute.
You would tell them he's one of the best webmasters in
yes.
all of professional sports.
Yes.
So it's not that hard a job.
If you are losing a few listeners here and there, and every show does, you are not replacing them with new subscribers.
That's the problem.
We're doing fine.
That's what Fred says. He blames it on the holidays. No one listens during Thanksgiving and Christmas.
You're going to get a little bit.
Although it is the downtime on Real Radio, too. Everybody and their brother is off.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They all take vacation now because one's listening anyway.
And in the vacation days for most radio stations won't roll over to the next calendar year, so they just take them all.
But they all kill the whole show. It's total fill-ins almost everywhere you go.
Yeah.
So our numbers might be going up.
Right.
Because they're being driven from the regular radio.
I got a feeling December is going to be a big month for us.
You think?
Yep.
What about Christmas? Just ruins it. That's what you told me about November. Thank you.
I'm talking about compared to other Decembers.
Year over year?
Right. Lyndon says, if a video of Paul's procedure showed up online, would you go looking for it, kind of like Brett Favre, Brandon Spikes?
Fred would, and I would not.
Well, if somebody sent it to me, I would look at it.
You would?
Sure. Wouldn't that be funny?
Should I tell the story that we had in the office yesterday about you and Paul?
No. Oh, because it involves a third party.
Well, I would leave specifics out.
You can't.
No, I definitely could.
No. No, you can't do it without it being figured out.
Well, just so you know, I have to tell Eric this story, and it's going to make him feel good, because he's moved up a couple rungs on the manliness meter on the PFW in Progress show. I'll have to tell it off the air, though, Eric. Not an on-the-air thing.
Eric's here with his camel hair coat, brown toque. And
brown toque?
Toque. It's a woolen hat. It's French for a woolen hat, right, Eric?
Tote?
Toque.
Oh, T-O-C-Q-U-E.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, that's right.
Toque? As in croquet?
It's pronounced toque.
As in so gay?
I was waiting for it.
Joel writes in, hey, guys. Hi, Eric. First off, happy holidays. Hope everyone gets what they want, and I hope Paul's scope went gently. Did anyone notice the blatant block in the back of Sammy Morse during Connolly's return? By Sammy Morse.
Yeah, on the kicker.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know, he was kind of going out of bounds anyway. I think the refs just said, you know what?
Yeah, I didn't notice it during the game, but I saw it every time on the replay. I guess Hockey League must have been too busy watching the cheerleaders on the Jumbotron. With Austin Colley on IR, I am all of a sudden not as worried about the Colts. Double Wayne and they beat you with Garcon and Tammy? I don't think so.
Garcon.
Just finished the good French word with talk, and he goes, Garcon.
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 You've never heard that name before.
Garcon, Pierre Garcon. I always say Garcon.
I've never heard
like Hawaiian
or Peter Waiter.
Purposely.
Yeah, Peter Waiter is what you used to say all the time. You didn't call him Garcon with any regularity. You just screwed up.
Well, back in the day when I lived in the Virgin Island, there was this French restaurant, and we used to sit, me and my friend Arthur, and when we want the waiter, we'd yell out, Garcon!
I'm sure they loved you for it.
Oh, yeah, we were locals. Yeah.
Amazing you had guns pulled on you and treated so poorly.
Having watched the Chargers with Vincent Jackson back, I'm worried about them, and I'm hoping that either Pittsburgh or Baltimore will do us a favor and knock them out of it. Question, what is all the fuss about a 7-9 team possibly having a home game? Hey, if they win their division, they deserve it. I don't care about their record. Let's face it, if they are 7-9, they're probably not going to be go very deep in the playoffs anyway. So if we make it to the Super Bowl, who would you rather face, Atlanta, Philadelphia, or New Orleans?
Atlanta.
I would say Atlanta. Of those three,
yeah.
I'd say Atlanta.
Especially since you had the 3 days to practice with them.
I'll
tell you
earlier
why.
In the year, so you kind of have some familiarity, and you know Bill's record with playing teams. He's already played in a season.
I think of those three, I least fear Matt Ryan than Drew Brees and Michael Vick.
Well, that would be my question.
Yeah.
I don't. Who beats you on the Falcons? I just don't. Michael Vick can beat anyone on any day. I don't say he will, but he can. And Drew Brees is proven. Because the same would hold true, Eric, for the Saints. Practice with them.
That's a good point.
But I just don't fear the Falcons. I think they're a little bit paper champions.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being disrespectful,
right.
And maybe I'll see Matt Ryan holding the trophy
right.
up and say, son of a bitch,
right.
He's a pretty good player now, and they're a pretty good team. But I just don't I don't fear them at all.
I know. And I think that's what they have going for them is that
the problem
chip on their shoulder that no one believes in them.
They have the pieces. I mean, they can run the ball a little bit. They have Roddy White having a great year. They still have Gonzalez as a tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, this secondary, when you start to think about it, you go, okay, I could see how they could move the ball. I just don't fear them at all.
Yep.
Maybe it's the hat. Maybe the wicker hat or whatever the guy wore. That you got all ruffled about in
Arthur
camp.
Blank's a pretty scary looking
Mike
guy.
Smith and his
looks
hat.
Like a vampire.
Yeah.
He looks very cosmopolitan.
He looks
still
like a vampire, though.
The thin,
the Hitler mustache. Stash. Yeah.
And he looks
you
ever
so goofy
that?
In that commercial.
Well, because he's bopping to the wrong beat.
Right,
but
right.
He's going too
commercial.
Fast for the beat.
Right.
Oh, it
great
is a good commercial.
That song is very catchy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very catchy.
But I thought you didn't like music.
That's a pet peeve I have these days. And
music's
probably
overrated, and that proves my point. I heard a stupid school bus commercial and fell in love with the song. I like
so
things that just click with me.
But that
much like the Gatorade commercial.
But that shows the impact of music. And
I don't remember the words.
It shows the impact of music.
Right.
So it's
but
not
it's
overrated.
Not overrated. But you can't think about it. It's okay. So maybe it's overanalyzed by pseudo intellects like Eric.
Everyone has a different way of looking at it. But I
the
have
right
a
way mine, the wrong way
But there
way
was
Eric's.
A day, all these songs that you're hearing on TV now, they're all like really contemporary bands that are like emerging and stuff like that, and then people find it. There was a day when if you were an artist, a musician, it was taboo to have one of your songs used, on TV
right.
for a commercial. Now it's just the opposite.
Right.
And I have a problem with it, but we'll talk about that off season.
Are we going to get a practice update? Eric
is here, and Eric, what do you have to tell us?
I don't want to alarm anyone, but there were quite a few missing players today.
Okay, well,
eight,
that's actually
to be
Andy
specific.
Kind of alluded to that at the beginning of the show, but why don't you go over the
to
list?
To be specific, eight. Tom Brady doing his Wednesday thing.
Yep.
Dan Connolly, of course we know why with him. Brandon Dedrick, who injured the shoulder against Green Bay, came back, but kind of like Gerard Warren the previous week.
Right.
Hurt a knee, came back, missed a couple days. Hopefully he'll be back later in the week. Deion Branch, Aaron Hernandez, we kind of had our suspicions there. Myron Pryor, Tully Bantakane, a little bit of a surprise there, and Mike Wright. So eight total players. Good news, Ron Brace chatted reporters up a little bit in the locker room, all smiles. Didn't know at the time. He was going into the training room to find out if he was cleared or not. He was cleared. He was out there at practice. Some flurries, a little chilly out there, a little nip in the air. Same lower practice fields where the Revs usually train. Shells and sweats. Four black practice jerseys, Andy. Care to guess on any?
Rob Ninkovich.
Yes, that's one. Very astute observation by you
saw
looking
a tweet.
In the locker room.
No, I actually saw a tweet.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go. I think it's a safe bet to say Ventrone.
It's not this week.
Wow. He really fell apart. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, I would say Hoyer.
All 53-man guys.
Hoyer.
Who made it. Not all of them made it, but all of them who made it were 53-man roster
not
guys.
Hoyer?
Mm-mm.
Not Hoyer.
Not Hoyer.
How about Algie Crumpler?
No. You've got two offensive linemen, Orenberger and Lavoir.
Okay.
You've got Ninkovich, as Andy said, and UFO boy, Tommy Clayton.
Okay.
Yeah, watermelons under his arm.
He doesn't
like
need
Andy
the black
Hart
shirt,
walks.
Though, because he doesn't actually wear a shirt at any point in
That's
his
true.
Life.
That's true.
So
what else?
He walks around
Eric,
flexing.
Anything else to report?
As soon as they broke stretching, Vince excitedly yelled out, "Let's get to work," and he sprinted to his drill, and there was a very up-tempo tenor to the practice, I thought, at least in the beginning, which is all we see. But
okay.
So, spirit of the week, but, you know, a little bit offset by the large number of absentees. So we'll see what the...
Yeah, any joy would be offset if Brady misses another day and Branch misses another day. I mean,
right.
You go to Buffalo without only, Brady, Branch, and Hernandez.
It is only Wednesday, and they do have something to play for this week, the number one seed.
Hats.
They just win and...
Hats and T-shirts.
Yeah, they just win this week, and they're number one. That's it. That's all they got to do.
Did you see the Colts spun the hat and T-shirt thing as motivation?
Is that right?
Because the NFL... There were hats and T-shirts here, just so you know, this weekend.
Right.
Because there was a chance they could win.
I don't like hats and T-shirts for division titles, by the way.
Okay.
A little
let's
pet
move
peeve.
On past that. Your pet peeves are annoying.
hats and T-shirts for Super Bowls.
But the Colts spun it as motivation because they found out or whatever that hats and T-shirts had been sent to the Jaguars. Hello, you're the Colts. You win hats and T-shirts earlier than anyone most years.
Right.
Like, everybody gets them. I don't understand how these coaches get these players to buy in.
It's stupid anyway.
More
importantly, celebrating a division title.
As I said yesterday, Eric, I rarely care what you have to say.
I think you should.
Rarely look forward to what you have to say and when you say it, but I really want to know.
Another one of Andy Hart's great backhanded compliments here.
Did you watch Monday Night Football, and how did you feel?
I did watch Monday Night Football. Not the whole game, obviously, but I saw the beginning of it.
Enough.
And I felt great when he got his ass knocked out of that game. And hopefully it's the last time we ever see that son of a bitch on a football field.
That's as
mobile as he's ever been.
More importantly, what do you think of Rex Ryan and his foot fetish? Were people talking about it?
Who's people?
The media.
You mean the media?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of chatter. Somebody was joking around, should we ask Bill if he has one? But I was.
Bill, do you have a fetish?
Yeah.
Somebody should. It ain't going to be me.
No. No, it wasn't
going
to be me.
Tom Curran around?
By the way, I got your question in.
Anything?
Yeah, okay.
Ish.
Somebody later on asked another question about rookies in general and their production this year, so you've got a couple of quotes you can play around with.
I thought it very interesting. I'm doing a non-rookie wall story for this year.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, we're now in late December, and all these guys are kind of in the same exact role they've been in all year, haven't really faded, and there's a bunch of them contributing. And I asked Mayo about it, and he said, you know, give Bill credit. He kind of pounds it into you that there is no rookie wall. You don't have the luxury of fading or whatever. But I asked him, mental or physical? What's the bigger challenge as a young player? And he said mental. He said it gets really monotonous watching tape week after week. And then he said you start to play teams a second time around, and it's the same team you're watching tape after tape. And I thought, I understand it. I mean, you know it's true, but I thought it was interesting for a guy like him who, you know, supposedly is here at 6 o'clock every morning watching tape, admits that it's not really fun, and it does get monotonous, and it's boring, and you could lose interest in it quickly.
Sure. That's where good coaching comes in, to keep it interesting.
And good internal drive.
Yeah.
I think there's something that either you are able to say, this sucks, but I have to do it, or you can't. I think there's some guys that just can't. They drift. The tape is on, but, you know, Brandon Merriweather or somebody who isn't really focused might say, I kind of dozed off. It's like when I read one of Paul's stories. Every once in a while, I'm not sure the editing in the middle is very good because I drift.
Hey, guys, and Eric, just wanted to say that was a hilarious story yesterday about Eric and Kyle Arrington. Is it possible to hear Eric's side of it?
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, Fred was very inappropriate yesterday.
No, I thought it was hilarious in the press box when you were talking to Andy about an encounter you had with Kyle Arrington in the locker room.
When did I have an encounter with
where
Kyle?
He Eric, Andy was making fun of Arrington saying...
I don't really want to participate, just like I didn't really want to participate yesterday. This was an off-the-air story you should not have brought on the air.
No, it was funny. It was funny.
It was funny.
I don't remember any of this. What
press
are you talking
box,
about?
You said something about Arrington, and I said something inappropriate back, and you laughed, and then you said something, and I said something even more inappropriate.
Yeah, I remember that part, but I don't remember what we said.
I don't remember the specifics, but you said something, and I said, yeah, he told you to stop looking at his junk. And you laughed and said, oh, I walked into that one. I go, whoa, maybe that's the problem if you walked right into his junk, whatever.
Oh, all right, I remember that.
Remember
now.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't really think it was an appropriate on-the-air story.
I thought it was funny.
I think a lot of things are funny Eric doesn't think is funny.
Yeah.
And I thought we tried not to say some of those things.
He thought it was funny because you were laughing in the press box.
That's
true. I was laughing between us.
To be fair, I should tell the Paul and Fred story on the air.
Which one is that?
From yesterday afternoon when Paul had a revelation.
No, because it involves somebody else, you
idiot.
I won't
talk about the other person.
My story involves somebody
else. It will be figured out, you idiot.
That's true. Eric's story involves someone else.
Who?
Kyle Arrington.
Well,
Kyle Arrington.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a player we're just talking about. His junk on the air.
No, you can't do
that. I could just say...
HR is listening.
No, they're not. They're on vacation. Because I had a question about my health care and couldn't ask it. Even though it's supposed to be in by the end of the month. Do you understand it? The deductible thing?
What do you need to
the
know?
Best Buy
family
versus...
deductible, but within the family deductible, there may also be an individual deductible.
Oh, I don't know.
My guess is they don't either, but they're not here to ask.
All I know is we're getting screwed.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Brandon in Salem, New Hampshire says, "Hey, Pat's crew and Andy, I started listening when I got the Patriots app for the iPod. I thought your
like
little
yours
talk
works.
About Woodhead's jersey was a little harsh. I recently posted on my Facebook that I wanted one. People just like the little guys in the NFL. And Andy, you really need to loosen up.
Do you have
up.
A Tony Carter jersey? He's
Andy,
really small.
You really need to loosen up. Hating music, hating on Woodhead. let's do a little over-under. Pat's D getting one pick against the Bills.
Over-under.
Over.
What's that again?
One pick against the Bills for the Pats.
Over-under. Over.
Over.
Yeah, I think they'll get a couple.
Way over.
Harvard
way
man,
over.
Not quite ready. Brady, one pick against the Bills. He throws one.
Push.
You think he'll finally get
one? Dude, he's been hitting guys in the hands for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Especially if Edelman's on the field.
Probably too.
It's him in the hands and he doesn't catch it. Maybe
I'll
Brady
say,
throws
I'll
a
say
tough
push.
Ball.
All right.
All Brady, these guys he's been hitting in the hands, they don't catch it. Edelman, the Charles Woodson, Brian Urlacher.
Brady finishes the year with 38 touchdowns.
Seven in the next two
seven
games?
Seven in two games?
Three and four? Or
four and
five
three.
And four and three.
Five,
five
and two.
And three.
Six and one. Right. Seven and right.
oh. Eight and oh.
I'll go under.
Yeah, I think
I
under.
Think under
they're
as
gonna,
well.
They're going to run the ball, and who knows how much he plays.
Because if they win next week, he may not play a lot.
No,
of...
he'll play some.
Yeah,
but he might,
some.
Might, he might only have a game and a
right,
half left
right.
if they hand it off to Ben Jarvis a bunch of times in Buffalo.
Well, one would think that, but then, you know, they're up 45-0 in games, and he's still out there in the fourth quarter
but
getting hit.
We've seen him rest people in the finales in the past. There's a track record against Miami and San Francisco. They kind of had
right,
JV
right,
games,
right.
so Hoyer could play.
McCourty with one more pick this season. I say over.
Yeah, I
push.
I think he'll get one more pick this season.
That's a push.
Brandon Merriweather causing two touchdowns for other teams.
Under. It'll just be one.
And Andy saying sure against someone's opinion.
Can somebody please play me an example of this?
Sure.
I really want to hear it. No, I'm being serious here. Can Kevin, is he in there? Where is he? Can you find me some shures at some point? I know maybe this is an off-season project, but.
Some what?
Sure. Everybody tells me I have this very condescending sure that I throw out there when people are arguing
with
me.
I'll have to make a note of that.
So find a good argument, and I want me saying sure. Put it together like a open, like you do, you know, the one for Paul where he goes, I was going to say. Andy said it, but I was going to say it.
Chris Ferreira says we had an emailer saying he had trouble finding the other Patriots.com radio shows. Chris says if that user does a search on iTunes for New England Patriots podcast, he should be able to find everything. By the way, was Fred winking at Andy when he paid me the compliment?
No, Chris.
No.
I'll give it to you. He seemed, key word here, seemed very serious when he called you one of the best webmasters in all of sports. To which I said, apparently there's not many horses in that race.
Jim in Detroit says, hey guys and Eric, if the Pats win this weekend in Buffalo, what are the chances they bench Brady and some of the other starters, especially after last year's Welker incident? I can't see Belichick taking that risk again against Miami, especially since that game is the closest thing to meaningless as a preseason game. May the force be with you, Fred.
This is a great question that we're going to have to face over the next 2 weeks. We talked about it. I talked about it with Mike Reese earlier on All Access. He brought into the equation elements in the game situation because, you know, we talked Wes Welker, the turf was terrible. Remember, Fred? You know, it went in moist and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That was part of that, clearly. And if it's a perfect game against the Dolphins, if it's sunny and 38 degrees with no wind, does that change where if there's some rain or slick turf? I don't know. I just think Bill is a big believer that 3 weeks between games, and that's what you end up with the week before the last game, the bye week, and then the week leading. 3 weeks between playing a game is a long time for a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he tends to err on the side of playing them, personally. I don't think he fears injuries. It happens, but I don't think he fears it.
He's been lucky, too, that, you know, his main guy had the one bad break in 08, but that was...
Well, you can't bench him in the opener.
No, but I mean, he's been very lucky, and it's kind of...
But last year, would the Patriots have turned out differently had Wes Welker been on the field? You can't answer that, the butterfly effect. Maybe the Ravens still would have whooped their ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or
maybe
the Patriots would have won.
I don't think Welker's absence had a whole lot to do with why they lost that game.
It never really had a chance to have much to do with it, but you never know.
You never know. It's but
they really won that game, you know.
Which one? The Ravens game?
The last game. Oh no. I thought you meant
oh,
the
Houston.
Last game of the
yeah,
season.
That's
no, I'm saying, had Welker been around, had he gone through
yeah.
the...
If he had
no,
sat
I don't think
the
it would
Houston
have made
game.
A difference.
But you can't say that. You don't know. Maybe
no, I don't know. But I don't think he would have tackled Ray Rice.
He might have. He might have stuck his knee out on the sideline.
Yeah. Except it was
on
running
the Ravens
sideline.
Side
right.
But I just don't, and then I get to the thing, well, where's the cutoff? I mean, obviously Brady is the top of the list, but Wilfork, Mayo, McCourty. Well, now we're already into rookie starters. And Branch and Welker, do you just rest Welker and you don't rest Branch? Branch is, you know, missing practice now.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie tight ends, can you rest both of them? Can you only rest one of them? Hernandez is banged up, so he gets it, but is he more valuable than Gronkowski? I think it's so hard to do, to field a team. I mean, I guess unless you just rest Brady. Say, you know, he's the most important. I can deal with all you other losers getting hurt, but if we don't have Brady, we can't win. It's a tough decision.
It is.
I would just play him. Yep. Play him for a while, get a lead, and then pull him.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. And I know you're opening yourself up to some criticism when Wilfork breaks a leg or McCourty breaks a leg or Brady breaks a leg, but that can happen on any play.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for having that much lag time.
Yeah, that's a
long
time.
For the starters, that's a very long time.
Because you open yourself up to criticism then, well, we got our ass whooped in the first game because we weren't ready to play. We hadn't played in so long, we were rusty.
It's one of the gripes that a lot of people have with, you know, like the big-time bowls for college footballs,
right.
that the last game usually is like a conference championship in the first weekend of December.
Yep.
And then a month later, they're playing a bowl game.
They're essentially two different teams because you kind of lose the flow. You have to start it over again, and it's almost like a different team.
With the way this offense has been firing, you really don't want
to
disrupt that at all.
Right.
And the defense is starting to find itself, find its confidence. That's a lot of lag
I just
time.
Don't know that you can coach out of fear. It's a physical game. Injuries happen.
What about getting rid of the wild card round and making it more teams making the playoffs and –
I don't want more teams making the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't want more teams making the playoffs.
Fewer teams. The playoffs is a privilege, and the way it is now, it's not like, was it hockey where everybody except four teams doesn't make the playoffs?
That's, MLS.
Yeah. It has to mean something to make the playoffs, especially when they're 7-9 teams.
How to keep
probably the
4 weeks of playoff action, including the Super Bowl, but...
No, but the bye is of value.
It's very much of value.
It is
I don't
value.
Think
it's huge value. It's,
no, but...
It's,
what,
especially when you have this number of injuries.
No, but with
and you
your
wanna...
plan of adding teams, are you keeping the bye so the first two teams still get
no,
the...
No, you're not keeping the bye. You're keeping the home field advantage.
That's my point. Yeah. I think you earn the bye, and it's of value. It's
absolutely.
Oh, I think that bye is critical.
Right, so you're eliminating it to add crappy teams to the playoffs.
Right.
So you're bringing in crap on the bottom, and you're hurting the top's chances to make the Super Bowl.
You are hurting the
That's
top's
terrible
chances.
Plan. That's yep. a terrible plan.
No,
it's almost as bad as an 18-game season that the fans are calling for, except the fans here in Foxborough who told the commissioner they don't want an 18-game season.
Elliott and Philly, the Eagles are ranked near the bottom in both red zone offense and defense. Isn't the bend-but-don't-break defense designed to stop big offenses like this? Do the Patriots win that game? Is Andy
game?
Hart a breast man?
I am definitely a breast man.
Yeah.
Unlike Fred Kirsch, who's a can man.
I'm both.
Breast and cans.
Yeah, they even each other out. I think, you know, that's how you get your equilibrium.
Imagine a woman whose breasts were as big as her butt. That'd be weird.
But you don't think there are women out there like that? Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness.
I don't think so. Not too many. You've seen them?
Sure.
Where?
They're all over the place.
Where? Where do you encounter these women with massive breasts?
Eric, why aren't you interested in this conversation?
Because he's not interested in women's butts or breasts.
Trying to post my update.
Oh, excuse me. sorry to interrupt. Let's see. George from South Carolina. How tiresome is it to keep hearing fans and analysts say that Dom Capers set the blueprint for beating the Patriots?
Pretty tiresome.
If by blueprint you mean get pressure with four rushes while dropping seven guys in coverage, play tight coverage, limit yards after catch, there isn't a defense out there that doesn't try to do all of these things. It's a matter of which defenses can do all of them at one time. It also doesn't hurt to have the Patriots' defense missing tackles and giving up big plays.
I'm on board with George. I think the blueprint whole thing is the most overrated crap in all of football. The blueprint's here,
Well, didn't we talk about that in 07 after the Eagles game?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And are people making those comparisons? Is that what this...
Jimmy Johnson wrote the blue, you know.
But is that what people are saying, that it's similar to the Philly game?
Yeah. They're making a lot of comparisons. He's Feely. I mean, Flynn is Feely, and the defense has the blueprint for stopping this Patriots. I think, sure, if you have Charles Woodson and a second good corner and an elite pass rusher.
The thing is,
and
after that Philly game, they didn't lose another game until the Giants.
Right.
And, you know, so how, again, if it was
but
a blueprint.
But they weren't as explosive in the postseason.
Yeah.
But that's because you're playing great teams every week, theoretically.
And you're getting a little tired.
You're getting a little tired. It's cold.
I mean, I think that the guys have pretty much admitted, the Patriots, that that perfect regular season really took a toll on them mentally. You know,
that's why they figured, you know, lose the Super Bowl, just get it out of the way. Don't worry about it. Never have to hear about
that
perfect
season. It's hard to do what they did to win 16 games.
Yeah. Luckily, this team doesn't have to worry about that. They just have to win how many more?
Just, well, really only...
five?
It depends on what other things happen, but...
Five,
four,
really.
You know.
Five.
A Super Bowl
I'd prefer them to win the Super Bowl this time when they get there.
But they could actually lose the next two games and still get to the,
but,
you know.
Well, then they'll be a wild card team and you'll be in trouble, potentially.
I have no doubt that they're going to beat the Bills.
They could actually only win three more games and still win the Super Bowl.
If the Jets lose.
Right,
but that's true.
With help.
Yeah.
Backing in.
Yeah.
Imagine that if the Patriots and Jets both lose out, because the Jets clinch the playoffs if they win.
Yeah.
So they therefore, if you lose out and they win one, they win the division, right?
No. They have to lose two, and they have to
win two,
we
and
have
we
to
have
lose
to lose two. Yeah, that's right.
They have to win out. We have
so
to
they
lose
make
out.
The playoffs with one win. They could win the division
with two wins
and two
losses.
Losses.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But so, it's not going to happen. They're not going to lose this game.
They're going to
beat
the Bills.
Is
the Bills' defense,
with help,
despite what Fred thinks, stinks.
With help, the Patriots could win three more games and be the Super Bowl champs.
A lot of help.
A lot of help.
Yeah, but you don't want to.
Wouldn't
think
you rather
that
just
way.
Win?
You don't want to think that
the
way.
The answer to my original question, by the way, was five.
Five, exactly.
You win the final two of the regular season,
you
feel good, take a bye,
win the divisional, win the AFC championship, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got that party here at the stadium. Let's plan ahead for that. That AFC title game party up in the club. Will we get invited to that this time?
No.
Ray writes in.
We usually get invited about 5 minutes before it starts. There were a lot of extra tickets left. Any chance you guys want to go?
Let's see. Ray must be from Buffalo. He says, well, Pats fans, Lawyer Malloy Day will return Sunday in Orchard Park. We are tired of your disrespect. You're thinking you're better than us with your combined 7, 8, or maybe 9 points of total margin of victory in three Super Bowl wins. I hate the Patriots more than the Dolphins now since 07, going for it on fourth down, up by four touchdowns inside the 10 in the fourth quarter. Then Tom Brady after the game saying they were trying to put their foot on teams' throats. Sunday, that Patriot season will be rocked at the Orchard.
Okay.
This guy calls himself The Stain.
Could happen.
The Stain or
The Crab Stain?
The Stain.
Patriots have, I mean, the Bills have played the Patriots tough the last few times out. Remember last year you needed the onside kick?
Yeah.
Earlier in the year, this year they had you on the ropes.
Yeah. I just don't.
I know it's 14 in a row, but it's been a tough the last few.
It has been. And you know what? I don't think it's going to be that tough this year.
I don't actually either. I think they're due for another blow the bleep
out. I think it is going to be tough.
No, whoa. You said you were picking the Bills.
I said I might.
Oh, come on.
I said I might.
You are such a
meow. Did I not say that?
You said you were picking them.
I didn't say that. I said I'm considering picking the Bills.
But you won't consider it tomorrow when you actually have to make the pick.
We'll see. You have to wait until tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Earlier, Bear in New Jersey wrote in because he had a problem with Andy looking at the negative of the Green Bay win. He wants to look at the positive. He says,
no, what he said was
let me read his email.
The fact that Matt Flynn looked just like Aaron Rodgers was somehow a positive. I take that as a negative, that you allowed a backup making his first career start to look like a Pro Bowler.
It's not like his passes were terrible. He made nice passes.
Yeah.
I mean...
You didn't make nice plays.
No, but I'm just saying it's like the balls were well thrown on target.
Sure.
It wasn't like lucky catches or tip balls or
you missed him.
You know,
you could have brought him down in the backfield a lot
more
often. You had five sacks. You probably could have had.
But that's been the issue with all the quarterbacks this year, not just Matt Flynn.
Right.
You know, Matt Flynn happens to be mobile, but they've missed a lot of quarterbacks in the backfield.
You allowed Matt Flynn to be comfortable enough to make those plays, right?
Baron, New Jersey says, I am a new emailer, about a 3-year listener, though, just always have to download the podcast because I'm always in classes. My point, Andy, was that even if Rodgers plays, he wouldn't have thrown much more than three TDs. So in this scenario, we just equate the two, and it doesn't matter who played quarterback. My point is that Flynn played so well, Green Bay didn't miss a beat, and
so
we still won.
Do you think Rodgers would have looked like a chicken with his head cut off in the final
well, that's the
half
one
a minute?
Thing. You don't know.
Or would he have overcome his coach's ineptitude? There's a chance, right, as a veteran?
But butterfly effect, the Patriots might have handled
sure.
the fourth quarter differently, knowing
sure.
Rodgers was back.
It was not a great defensive effort,
you know.
Right, bottom line, for the most part. They got the plays they needed at the end, but for the most part, it was not a great,
defensive effort.
I'm sorry if that's a negative viewpoint. I try to be a realist.
Well, as long as those lines, Stripper says, is Kuhn really that good, or do the Patriots just stink?
I don't know, but I have a new favorite player.
You like Kuhn?
Kuhn. You see the
and
South
he kept
Park
doing
episode?
The South Park voice for him.
Cartman had a superhero that he called
name.
The Kuhn, and he had this deep
like
voice.
Like a raccoon outfit.
Now I'm over here.
Yeah.
And I kept doing that every time.
Every
Kuhn
time he would
play.
Like dive into the pile and then like squirt out somewhere
Kuhn
else, he'd go, I'm over here now.
You would have heard it if you weren't deaf in your left ear.
Right. Ignacio from Chicago says, right. Great show. I've been listening to you guys all week and in love with the shows. Keep on keeping on. The Patriots are number one, and
Woo!
I'll keep listening till my ears go deaf. I think he meant deaf, but that's all right.
Go deaf?
Yeah, he wrote deaf, but...
Deaf?
You know, those damn spell checks probably changed.
Auto-corrected.
Yeah.
I have problems with that.
Oh, my God. Somebody said, sent on the Telus Mobility Network with BlackBerry, but there's no message. So.
Great.
Freddie, you would have been mad today. Tom Curran, our cohort at CSNNNNNE, has really gone all Kenny Mayne now. Now he was getting players, like he was feeding them the lines of "Twas the Night Before Christmas,"
Jingle Bells,
Jingle
Desperate.
Bells, and getting each one of them to sing a little bit. Algie Crumpler wouldn't play along, but Rob Gronkowski did.
Wouldn't even play along to say no on
Why
camera.
Do I get a feeling that Rob would do anything? Here, Rob, put this lampshade on your head.
he's a good sport.
Yeah, he's a good
a
soul.
Nice guy,
yeah. Good soul.
Yeah.
Just
normal.
You know, yeah, he's happy.
Can
to be
talk
there.
To anyone in the locker room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice man.
No airs about him.
No. No airs,
hope
no
it
cares.
Stays that way.
No. Nothing between the airs.
He's the kind of guy that you have a party, Rob, you got to invite Rob.
Certainly.
You know?
Certainly.
Rob's got to be there.
Right.
You know?
You don't have him
Everybody
taxes,
loves
though.
Rob. Everybody loves Rob. Richard Howell says, somebody needs to say, I don't ever want to hear about running up the score again after the Eagles scored 28 points in 7-plus minutes. No game is ever safe until it's 73-0.
That's right. How does Bill say? Until the number of possessions is more than the percent of the... Which is never possible, by the way, because you can onside kick every single time, so you can always get the ball back.
That's a good point.
So you can always run it up if you want and have a good...
Pro Football Focus, which is... A lot of people are going to that more, that website.
Yeah, that's... Remember when we talked about that a long, long time ago, and we kind of surmised that maybe it was a agent running
right,
it,
right.
And maybe there was some ulterior motives to the statistics and analysis.
Well, anyway, they've got their MVP race, and what number do you think Brady is in on there?
If it isn't one, then
it's
a stupid
be one.
Website.
Four.
Oh, boy.
Rivers, Vic, Ryan, and Brady in that order.
Rivers. No, sorry.
That's stupid.
Aaron Rodgers is number five.
That is just, how can he, they have a young team with a terrible defense and they're the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
How does that not display the quarterback's value? He had back-to-back near-perfect passer ratings, player of the week.
Yep.
He's blowing people out. The team traded his top receiver, and he just picked a new guy to make his top receiver.
Right.
And I mean, how can
mid-season.
He not be?
And look,
mid-season.
You can make an argument for Rivers, but the fact is their defense...
He couldn't overcome it.
The Chargers' defense is one of the best in the leagues. That's contributed to them, you know.
No, but he couldn't overcome the holes that their special teams and other players put them in.
That's true.
Brady has overcome a terrible defense, right?
Yes.
I just don't understand the logic. I can see Michael Vick because you watch him before your eyes carry a team to victory. I think the Eagles are better than I thought they were going to be, and he's a part of that. Okay, mm-hmm. I can see the argument, but I think he should finish second to Brady. I
do
personally
too.
Believe
I do
it should
too.
Be unanimous. I think it should be 32-0 Tom Brady. I don't think there should be an argument.
And Vic can come in second place by
sure,
a mile over
sure,
anybody
whatever.
Else. I still think there's an argument to be made for Matt Ryan to be up there in that discussion only because he has proven that he can lead his team in fourth quarter comebacks
sure.
consistently.
Is that the shirt everybody's talking about?
Yes,
that's
so.
The one right there.
I think
can I get
so.
That on tape?
That's the one right there. Mark tape.
But...
So I think the second place between Vic and Ryan is a legitimate argument. Number one has to be Brady.
And one quick thing I want to say, and this is kind of the other side of that argument. I've heard people say, arguing for Brady, he lost his number one receiver. He didn't lose his number one. The team didn't lose the receiver. They chose to trade him. There's a difference.
But, you know, Brady didn't trade him.
Okay, so he lost him. But don't tell me the team lost its number one receiver.
But it's a factor.
It is, but
there's
you chose to trade him.
There's a segment of football fans who said the Patriots offense is going to stink now.
Yep.
That's true.
And
only a few believers like you said it would be fine.
Right.
Yeah, not just fans. A lot of us in the media felt that way.
Anybody with any analytical eye thought it would not be as
Ross in New Brunswick says, I only get the opportunity to listen to your broadcast late in the day, a day late, so I'm responding to Tuesday's program. Why is every game a referendum? For me, it's simple. We're spoiled. As fans of this great organization, we've come to expect an absurdly high level of play. We've got arguably the greatest coach-quarterback tandem ever and a handful of young players who have risen far, far above any reasonable expectation. By the way, what seems to keep getting overlooked in people's complaints, Green Bay has the number one scoring defense in the league. We put up more points than them than any other team this year. Let's see, that's something we should look at. Offense didn't get into a groove. Look at the time of possession. Our opening drive was good and ended on a great run by Law Firm. To end the half, we got the four-yard line thanks to Dan on quite possibly my favorite Patriot play of all time. The hustle out of all 11 men in the field was inspiring. How many blocks did Connolly receive? Pick six on Green Bay opening possession to start the second half. And by the way, we needed a touchdown drive. Tom got it done. How is it news that our D is a problem? We came up against a young quarterback who there is very little film on, who did an admirable job of running his offense. The theme this year has been bend but don't break, and unless I'm mistaken, we didn't break in the end. Hats off to Vince for the job he did keeping that young beat-up squad together. I thought it fitting he fell on the ball to end the game after Tully Bannacane's sack. And let's not forget to give credit to Seabass for his job on Clay Matthews. I don't think Vollmer has been getting the credit he deserves. Love your show. Hate the Jets and Bill Polian.
Yeah, Vollmer's a story we've been wanting to do for a while. It's just he's been quietly productive this season. That's, you know, a staple on that right side of the offensive line. Has had some moments where he's given up a big play or two, but hasn't been terrible on that side.
But I mean, I thought he struggled a little early in the year. I think he's settled in nicely.
Yeah, and you know, Bill has talked about since last year his ability to play left or right tackle, which
he's a swinger.
Yeah, but
maybe he's the next in the line of videos that come out.
That's a
swinger.
That's a story we'll probably end up doing before the end of the season.
Sure,
we can try. I mean,
this next email simply says, "Ow!" It's from Paul's ass.
Oh God! That was a stinky email.
Well, I got behind on the email, so I...
Oh, I see what you...
You should have heard the bad jokes early about feet. Something about Rex Ryan heard that football was a game of inches, and he thought they meant feet or something, and that's why he likes it. And what was the other one?
When he has sex with his wife, he really socks it to her.
Did you use that one already?
I usually sock it to myself.
And, of course, we've come to the
end of
the show.
You sock it to your socks.
It's true.
John Rook is shaking his head in his mother's basement. Hey, John.
Fred, don't you think I have pretty feet?
I really do, and I think Rex Ryan thinks you do, too.
They smell good.
Thank you. I can't imagine anything more of a turn-on than asking someone, can I sniff your feet?
Oh,
God. What about licking the feet?
This is the most disturbing story ever.
I hate feet.
I hate them.
It totally is. Andy, I'm right there with you, brother.
As I said,
this is very disturbing.
No feet smell good. Only what you put on them. Feet naturally stink. They're dirty, vile parts of the body.
It's because they spend all their time in shoes where they sweat.
Or on the ground, walking, touching dirt, or showering in public facilities with fungus and growing everywhere. It's so disgusting.
Andy's really working himself up at the
lather.
I hate feet. It's
disgusting. I can't understand how anyone could be turned on in any way by feet.
Let's just go get a goddamn snack.
And he meant he wanted to suck on some toes.
Oh, but I mean, could we not? I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
You really can't.
The Jets
are an
absolute unbelievable, just story churning out machine.
I love it.
So easy to work in New York and their media. They just have a new story every day.
Where's the challenge of working in the New York media?
Talk about lobbing softballs up.
Oh, my Lord of mercy. I that was great. You know, Chicago's reporters asking Rex Ryan earlier today, you know, to comment on it. He says it's a personal matter. Well, you know, I think it stopped being a personal matter
when you put it on the internet.
When your wife posts these or you or somebody posts them on the internet, you know?
It's not personal.
I just said the picture of his fat body operating the camcorder while his wife is dangling her feet.
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
I mean, where was that in Hard Knocks? That would have been great.
That's the After Dark Hard Knocks.
It's just too much. I can't, you know, it's almost sensory overload here. I don't know where else we go from here.
This little piggy went to the football game. This little piggy stayed home.
That little joke was lame.
All right, John, what do you got on playbook?
We're going to get inside the Bills in a little bit and actually have a conversation with Tim Graham's tomorrow. Mark Ludwizek from the Bills Digest. He's going to join us coming up in a little bit. So we'll find out about the late season momentum that the Bills have already generated. They've gone 4-2 in the last six.
And we got an email from a Bills fan who says that the streak is over, that the Bills are going to – it's going to be another Lawyer Malloy day in Orchard Park.
Yeah. I heard you talking about that. Well, you know what? Frankly, I think the Bills will give them a hell of a game. I don't think that this is a blowout. I think the Bills have given them several very close games in this long run, but the Patriots somehow have just had, you know, a little bit more personnel, a little bit more smarts, a little bit more of an edge coaching. I don't know. Chan Gailey apparently is pushing the right buttons now, and even though it means nothing as far as this season is concerned, it would not shock me to see the Bills, strap one on exactly like Green Bay did.
I think there's a reason why they've done well lately, and we're going to see it on Sunday. All right, John, have a good show.
Yes,
sir. For our audience, we will talk to you tomorrow, PFW in progress.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.